This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
It's the day after Halloween.
How is everybody?
Hi. Wonderful.
Mike?
Yes.
Buzz is mad at you.
Why?
Buzz is extremely mad at you.
why is he mad? What did I do now? I hate it. I hate this feeling. Right now, this feeling.
That moment.
No knowledge of anything that's going on.
I know.
Did I forget his birthday?
No, it's just what I've heard.
All right.
I will tell you what I heard from two independent sources.
What did I do?
Apparently, when you took your dookie, you sprayed so much spray, you upset Buzz to the point where he could not eat his sandwich inside.
Today?
Uh-huh. Today.
Ha, ha, ha.
And
not guilty.
What?
The orange spray existed when I arrived at the building.
Really?
And a dookie has not been taken by me.
My apologies.
And no spray has been used by me today. I am not guilty.
Furthermore,
Don't do it, Mike.
Mike, no, you need to know more.
Yes, what?
Furthermore,
yes.
As an indication that Buzz thought it was indeed you.
Yes.
I kept as evidence, he wrote on both cans of Citrus Magic.
Uh-huh. Oh, now I'm upset. I'm upset.
At first he put, a little goes a long way.
Okay.
And he circled, it's concentrated.
Uh-huh.
And on the other one, he wrote, 4 short blasts is plenty.
Uh-huh. And I could not agree with him more.
And not directed to anyone in particular.
No, you didn't direct it
in general.
Me.
I had
and
no
excuse
idea.
Excuse me. Well, who assumed that it was me?
I tell you what.
You know what I did? You know what I'm guilty of? I am guilty of purchasing at the car wash 2 days ago the citrus spray because we didn't have any
at inflated car wash prices,
and
too.
And I applaud that. $10 each of those cans.
I will throw myself under the bus. I thought it was you as well.
So did Joe.
Because
we all did.
I will tell you that
when I arrived, no one was here, and except the door was held for me by the engineer, one of the engineers upstairs.
Which one?
I'm not sure what his name is.
One we don't recognize.
The one that's
really.
Not Bear?
The one that's not there all the time.
Uh-huh.
Not Jeff.
Not Wes.
Not Bear.
Is it Wes?
Probably Wes.
The one that's not Bear.
I think it was Wes.
Wes is like, he is a comptroller. He is not an engineer.
Yeah, Wes, I think, but I don't even know if it was Wes. Because I think Wes came in.
Wonder if Jeff had been here today.
I'll tell you what
but
I heard,
smelled. I walked in. The first thing I smelled when I opened the outer door was the orange spray.
Intense.
It didn't bother me that much. Was it bad in there?
It concentrated throughout this bottom floor. I didn't even go upstairs, but so much so that if you tried to eat your lunch,
you tasted orange.
It was going to taste
like
orange.
Understand, I get here, and they come to me like rats.
Right.
You know, right away, it's like I tasted. Buzz is so pissed. He's so pissed that Mike took a big crap and put too much spray and had to go outside. And you know Buzz. Now, this was what I heard from Rob.
True.
And then 5 minutes later, Joe comes in and says, hey, Buzz is so pissed. And Buzz is like quietly pissed, you know, when he really just lets something eat at him.
Well, he wasn't quiet when he walked out in the hall and yelled. Yelled, not like a Rob.
What did he say?
Who doesn't understand the word concentrate?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what? And I would tell you, Buzz, that even if I had been in there, I probably would have just done a little spritz because I'm familiar with the stuff.
I
purchased it.
I apologize for thinking it was you.
You all owe me an apology for thinking
it was me. I apologize. I did not assume it was you. I was told it was you. Who told you? Well, that was Joe, but he assumed as well.
Joe
follows your timeline, though.
Not really, though. I mean, usually I'm a little later, you know. Yeah, but if I come in there.
Right.
Yeah, 2 o'clock. But, but you know, I came in here and smelled the orange spray, too.
Yeah.
I took care of all of my business at the O'Mara Mansion
Good
today.
For you, and I apologize.
Well, your apology is accepted.
Does your house reek of oranges?
Don't even have a can of that in the house.
You should get one.
We have a Febreze.
What's funny is this is the way that Buzz protests. He writes little insulting things on the cans.
No, instructions,
but
not
insults. Absolutely right. If you see that as concentrate, and you know what? You agree with the product, right?
Oh, I love the product.
The product is the best product you can get.
Fantastic.
I mean, that's why I bought two cans of it. And
magic.
Move one ahead. Move, Rob, there are two cans in the back. Move one of those back into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, very, very important to have that in the bathroom. But I love that. That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling when I'm accused and I'm not guilty. And, you know, usually if it was me, I'd be proud of it.
Well, they
you
won't.
Know, and to be honest with you, I like to leave just a hint of me.
They won't,
thank you.
They won't tell you, Mike. But
yes.
When they came to me, I said, I don't believe it.
Right.
I was on your side.
You always are.
100%.
You always are.
Well, I did pick the Red Sox.
The good news is now that it's 3 o'clock, I just stepped in the hallway and it reeks of baked chicken.
Oh, yeah. Well, then later on today, somebody will be using that orange spray.
That's right. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. Today it's Mandarin chicken.
Do the cleaning people clean his area when they come in here?
His personal area?
Hey, his personal area.
The cleaning people were here today.
Yeah, I know. That's why, because I went upstairs.
I'm saying hello.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think dropped the kids at the pool?
Oh, maybe it was the cleaning people.
Because we work with these engineers.
Because I don't even think it was Wes, because I think Wes had run in and run out really quickly when I got there.
Describe the smell. Was it?
Everybody loves orange. Orange is just the greatest thing of all, but there was too much of it.
No, describe the smell. Oh, I guess you can't describe the smell.
No,
the only thing I smell.
That preceded the orange.
I still smell orange spray.
Oh yeah.
I got it. So okay,
it's been over an hour.
You didn't know who.
I still smell orange.
I don't know who dealt it. Yeah. I just
and
I,
you know
the
what?
Orange.
And in that much of a concentration, it is not.
It's a bit much. Yeah.
You want to have just a little spritz of it. The whole point of that spray is that it destroys odor.
It's concentrated.
You're not a paid spokesman.
I rather like it. I think it's. It reminds me. It's the smell of the single man.
You should have been here an hour ago.
It's.
Though.
You know what it is. Even an hour ago.
Yeah.
It's the smell of. You know, the lazy single man.
It reminds me of Christine Kerner.
Really.
Because when we would use it for its desired purpose to cover odor, she would always ask if someone had been eating oranges, and she genuinely meant it.
That's real, right.
Yeah, it is so real, and she
it's
was
not
so
a young
real.
Lady that was blessed with deep thoughts.
She also would sit back at the phone bank and sing.
Yes,
not while it was playing. Uh-huh. She would sing commercials. She would just sit
jingles.
There. She'd sit there and go, Remax, Remax.
Yes, unburdened with any real, you know, serious thoughts.
Never slowed down by common sense.
No, not at all.
God bless her.
Where is she now?
I have no idea.
Where are they now in the Donna
Hell's
Mike
Kitchen,
vault?
The last I heard.
Hell's Kitchen?
No, that was Alex Cleveland.
Oh, that was Alex. Oh, a different blonde.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's
Alex
blonde.
Cleveland made the Rice Krispie treats.
That's right.
And she was working at the Red Eye restaurant up New York when we saw
her. All right, fellas. Well, listen, let's just wipe, if you'll pardon the pun, just wipe the slate clean
yes,
here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've accepted everyone's apologies to me, and I think we can move on now.
All right, well, then let's start. We're not even going to spin the wheel today. We're just going to start with some holly.
Good.
Have a holly jolly, and we're going to be talking about Homovember.
Yes.
Today's the first of Homovember.
Yes.
But we're going to start today with some Holly Morris. You're going to love it. It's Holly Feeds Baby Pigs.
Oh, my God.
Good morning. 54 shopping days until Christmas. Mm. Yikes.
That gives me 53.
Right. There you go. 53 free days, and then you go out on Christmas Eve. I'm with you. You only have to get one gift, though. Probably for your wife. And we have some local pigs right here that are joining us here this morning. Now, can one of you tell me about these little
guys
here?
Girls?
These are Old Spot Gloucestershire pigs.
This, of course, is Holly Morris,
their
the hyperactive feature reporter for Fox Channel 5.
She's out at a farm.
Worldwide, about a
yeah, she has on the
really?
Big high knee boots, the rubber boots.
Out this weekend.
So she can walk around in the slop.
Six more.
Ooh. I scared them.
Actually, would you like to feed one of them
Absolutely.
With a baby bottle?
Yes, I'd like to feed them. Maybe they'd probably like that better. Do I take one of the little ones or the big one?
Wouldn't you love it if she brought the pig to her breast?
Yes. I was just thinking.
Yes. Nursing the pig.
The big one that's right there?
The big one?
The little one?
Oh, little
okay.
one. See, that's why I asked the question.
Thank you.
All right,
squealing.
Here's the little one. And what is this in here? Is it just milk replacement?
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Come on. Oh, there we go. You know what? One of you needs to grab another bottle and let me see if I can double fist and I can feed both of them. Oh, hey, no fighting.
See if I can double fist? Wow. All right.
Hold on, my lady. Let's back that up.
Let's hear that again.
Holly Morris wants to double fist a pig.
Wow.
I can feed both of them. Oh, hey, no fighting. Oh, look, here we go. Wait, look, I got another. Oh, there we go. Oh, all right. There's peace in the pig world now at Ayrshire Farm. And real quickly before I go.
Ayrshire Farm. Sounds like
only
something you get at Thanksgiving.
About 1,000.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's so, very interesting.
So well, we'll listen to the whole feature later in the show, really, but we'll let it go right up to where she talks about fisting.
I scared them.
Actually, would you like to feed one of them
Absolutely.
With a baby bottle?
Yes, I'd like to feed them. Maybe they'd probably like that better. Do I take one of the little ones or the big one?
The big one that's right there.
The big one?
The little one?
Oh, little
okay.
one. See, that's why I asked.
Big one of the, big one that's right
All
there,
right,
the little
here's
one?
Here's the little one. And what is this in here?
Okay.
Is it just
it's breast milk?
Milk replacement?
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Come on. Oh,
mother's
there
milk.
We go. You know what? One of you needs to grab another bottle and let me see if I can double fist and I can feed both of them. Oh, hey, no fighting.
Yeah,
oh, look,
that's
wait,
worth
look,
the
I
whole tape right there.
Oh, there we go. Oh, all right. There's peace in the pig world now at Ayrshire Farm.
Oh, we'll hear the rest of this later.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Just scary. The Don and Mike Show.
Is everybody ready?
That's like leftover scary. We double fist the pigs.
I'm not happy.
Tell me about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, what have we here?
What the bleep happened here?
I don't know.
Why do you favor rape?
Why men's rules?
Take it to the limit.
Why?
Yeah.
That bitch!
Ooh. All right, Buzz, this is the time we play your tape.
Thank Let's you. Get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Amen.
Right? The ultimate CEO? Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
What about weed? Is there going to be any weed?
Gracias.
Why, you mother-grabbing bastard!
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
This one's left over from yesterday, but what the heck?
Don't miss Young Frankenstein, personally directed by Mel Blazing Saddles Brooks, in black and white. No offense.
No offense. No offense.
No offense, Mel.
The hotline.
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
Okay. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Peter North. Oh my God. Woo! I think he like 10 to 12 times at one point.
Oh no!
Oh yeah.
So good.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Looks like baby vomit.
It sure does.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
So run.
What makes a Nazi? Hey. How does he get that way?
Right. Stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
That's very silly indeed.
Good morning. 54 shopping days until Christmas. Mm. Yikes.
That gives me 53.
It's... Right. There you go. 53 free days, and then you go out on Christmas Eve.
Oh, no. Yeah. You put Holly Morris in that machine, too? That tape lives in two places.
Studio ya viene llegando.
Llegando.
Well, let's just start the show.
They're here.
All right. Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Don and Mike.
Oh, there we are. Thank you, Ed. Hi, everybody.
Well,
hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Right. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And that's
my
it,
favorite.
Folks. The show is great. How are you doing, Joe? And guess who else
is here. Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, let's hear that one.
I'm Jimmy Stewart.
Right.
To show, I'm showing you how to
bananas.
Cut apples.
Ah.
Oh, the apples, not bananas.
Apples. There you go.
I love his tribute.
So good.
His tribute to Warner Brothers really turns me on.
So good.
It really does.
So we have the Holly Morris thing, not only loaded in a disc, but it's also right here.
Very popular.
Any moment we need it.
Good morning, 54 shopping days.
Yes.
Right there. It's right there with all of your other favorite tapes.
Gay, 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 gay.
Just a finger reach away.
A finger. Einen Finger. Oh, that one's a little painful.
Uh-huh. Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. Listen, S-H-I Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Right. Figure it out, poop. S-H-I Thursday.
Not guilty Thursday.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Hello.
Hello, Mike. This is your little dog, Beluga.
No, this is not Beluga. I don't like imposters. Beluga's got a very definitive voice. You can really tell when it's Beluga. Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Halloween. Real quick, now, as you're always, Mike said you had, what, like 50 kids?
Yeah, I didn't see any of them, because, I mean, traffic was insane last night.
By the time I got home, there was only a few. I do want to say hi to the dad, Craig, who I mentioned yesterday, had a group of 8 of them.
Right.
8 of them, 4 of them his, and 4 of them others, that he was walking around the neighborhood.
I had a total of 5, I think. 3 in one group, 2 in another group when I got home, and both times, I am happy to report, I was able to say, como te amas.
My neighbor, Craig, set the bar, if you'll pardon the pun, higher this year than he has any year.
Really? Did you join him for an aperitif?
No, I did not. I did speak about him yesterday.
Yes. Mentioned
that he comes by every year. He's the dad that brings all of the kids, mm-hmm. with the dads and the moms that are busy or whatever, don't want to deal with it. He takes them all. And he always comes down and takes a shot of vodka.
Right.
Well, he was pleased as punch that I had mentioned that yesterday.
Sure.
And while the kids were standing at the front door, uh-huh. going through the candy, he walked right over to where the bar area is,
right.
picked up a bottle of Grey Goose, popped off the cork, and it made that sound,
uh-huh. boom,
and just put the bottle to his lips and went chug, 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 put the cork back in and said, talk about that tomorrow on the radio.
I like that.
Good.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That is a lot of fun.
And, you know, before you mothers against drunk fathers start calling, he was walking with the children.
That's
he only
right.
had to walk like 6 houses to
yes,
get back
hey,
home.
Come on now. Don't get uptight about things you shouldn't get uptight about.
But he's good. So hi, Craig. chicks, everybody's talked about their girlfriends this week. I've had a unique conversation with Janet the last couple of days. First, unrelated, I'm going to have to bite the bullet. I must meet her family.
Right.
We're at that point in the relationship.
Sure, sure.
I've got to meet her family. So we were working out some of those plans and got sidetracked on something else.
Right.
We got sidetracked to, I would call it a semi-argument. And it was nothing big. And as we went to bed last night, it was one of those things. It was a little like, she's pissing me off a little bit. And
little tiff.
She kind of knew it, but it was no big deal. We woke up this morning, and very sweet. She gave me a hug, and she said, I am really sorry about yesterday. And
right.
I said, oh, sweetie, you know, so am I. Okay, great. Let's have a good day. And then as she was still hugging me, she said, good. And I'm really sure that you're sorry that you started that whole thing.
Oh, that's the old bait and switch. That's not fair.
I let it go.
That's that. Good, you don't do
you.
That after the apology.
I let it linger.
Mm-hmm.
It was wow. was one of those little.
That's not like you.
It was this little under the radar thing had been going.
Did it
on.
Did it dawn on you later? I mean, was it such a quick hit that you didn't think about it until later on?
No, she said it, and she said it with a laugh.
Right.
So she, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was yeah, maybe kidding.
But you know. There you go. Maybe.
In every joke.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's yeah. just a little bit. So,
mm-hmm. Ain't it true.
Anyway, got that worked out, and I'm now locked in to the date, and I don't know why in God's name I'm so apprehensive about this. I'm going to have to rent some movies like where boyfriends go to meet the girlfriend's parent
right.
Over the holidays with the beautiful, you know, winter scene
yeah.
with the snow falling and all of them sitting around telling the stories and playing Yahtzee and enjoying their cocoa and
right
you know
rent some one of the old TV movies with the Waltons. That'll help. That'll help your situation.
I know there's some Owen Wilson movie out there.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers.
That could help me.
Well, there are a lot of Owen Wilson movies that can help
you. But
I
think
you,
specifically
know.
There might
Meet the Fockers.
There might be an Owen Wilson movie about
Meet
him.
Meet the Parents, I should say.
Uh-huh. He's always in those movies where a guy's bringing a girl home, mm-hmm. and as it turns out, the girl falls in love with the dope head brother.
Sure. Yeah, well, those are the movies that are supposed to have the most drugs on the set, so that's why he does that. Is he out of rehab, incidentally? Is Owen Wilson back in the general public? I haven't heard about him since his big scandal.
I think he is out now.
Right.
Yeah, just you know, I can just find my movies and have a good time. I was wondering, if I'm going to do this movie, you might have a lot of narcotics on the Kraft Food Services cart. Help me out, will you, dude? Yeah, thanks a lot.
And I came to this realization today as well. Get ready for a real announcement, a real pronouncement.
All right.
I don't know why I am now so rooting against Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
And against this movie.
I know why you are.
I mean, I like Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian. I don't. The TV show.
I like the TV show.
I really do. I like his stand-up stuff.
He thinks he's smarter than you are.
Mike, here's the thing, though. He's always been pompous. Yeah. We've played those tapes that, you got to treat the audience like a child.
That's when I started hating him. Now he's more pompous than ever.
Mm-hmm. Me too, but there is a definite turn now. For me, there's been such a turn because he's on TV, primarily on NBC.
Everywhere.
Where he's making a big deal about, hey, I'm back on NBC. Like, maybe I'll save NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this movie out. It's an incredible movie, and I'm a perfectionist, and
I watch bees more than I've ever watched them. And yeah. Even when he says a statement like that, and I looked at those bees and said to those bees, if you only knew what I was doing for you. That's his whole rap.
Mm-hmm.
That's his whole rap now. Oh, thank you, Jerry, for giving us this wonderful, hey, another animated movie. And here's a picture in the newspaper of Jerry Seinfeld with, oh, there's another guy that needs the money, Matthew Broderick.
That's why I'm
doing the bees. Oh, boy, F them.
I find myself rooting now that this is the first one in these animated Pixar-type films mm-hmm. that just does a total off the cliff.
I root for the one like our buddy Patton was in, a guy that's been on the stand-up trail, is trying to make a name, and actually used his movie, which I thought was very funny, mm-hmm. the animated movie that he was in, Ratatouille. Mm-hmm. He was in that movie, and I it was a vehicle for him. It was a thing for him actually to get bigger stardom than he had. Not just a vehicle for these unbelievably wealthy stars just to put their name in it because they have kids now.
Jerry likes talking about the art of comedy, and
I took creative control over the whole thing.
I heard him today. Have you heard this one? How the story came about?
Oh no! What, he get stung?
I just
get stung on the ego.
His idea, right?
I happened to be having dinner with the Spielbergs.
Okay.
And Steven Spielberg said to me, "Do you got any ideas?" And I said, "I got an idea. Bee movie. It's a movie about bees." I thought it was a joke. He said, brilliant. The next thing I know, he's got Jeffrey Katzenberg on the phone, and they're making my movie.
Oh, God. So Steve looked at me and said, B-movie's a good movie.
You know what really sucks about that? That was the way they created the bees on Saturday Night Live 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
B-movie.
Right.
And that was the first sketch that started that.
Really?
So they stole
another plagiarized idea.
Exactly.
Stolen idea.
No, here's the thing. And he has been funny, and he's created a great sitcom that will go down in the history of television.
A classic.
Sitcom. But the attitude,
phenomenal.
The attitude that somehow, which existed at the end of Seinfeld and exists to this day, mm-hmm. that somehow he is doing me a favor,
right?
And I swear to God, it comes through with every interview that he does now. And yeah, you're right; he's always been pompous. But it just comes through. He wasn't pompous at the beginning of Seinfeld.
He's the king of pompousity now to sit there and refers now to as my show. You know,
I am the king of pomposity.
It's no longer Seinfeld. It's no longer, well, Larry David had something to do with it. And there was that great ensemble cast. And well, on my show.
Yes.
And then everybody who talks to Jerry Seinfeld on TV about this movie references whatever their favorite Seinfeld episode was.
Of course they do.
And I love his standard answer now, which is, I just don't know them like you do.
Yeah. Okay.
Because. And then I read today in the New York Times, in what was a pretty glowing, favorable rave for his movie.
Of course.
Just a couple of paragraphs about the real Jerry, that he's at Tavern on the Green, and he's there with his wife, and he's walking through the crowd, and someone stops him, someone having a meal. He walks by the table, and they say, "Excuse me, can I please have your autograph?" And he says, "Sure." And he just keeps going.
God, that's him.
Little insight.
Yeah. That's him. Well, that's the mean stand-up, and there's nothing wrong with the mean stand-up comic. The majority of stand-up comics are mean, insecure guys, but his... There's just something about him where he is doing me a favor. And you know what? I don't need his favor.
And when he was asked about it later, the article goes on to say, some people might have thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
It's his standard thing because, again, I wish I had the quote with me. Maybe somebody can Google it. It's something like, they don't realize it's just my name. I'm just a guy. It's not really... worth anything, so why should I waste their time? I say sure to make them happy. Hmm. I walk away, they forget about it.
Right. Here we go, to make them happy.
And then the quote is, but they all got to see me.
Oh, God. Oh, God, he's such a stain.
He is.
And it's, look, you know, what? I'm beginning to realize that in this world of television and movie fame, in this culture of celebrity that we have in America right now, what you have is, I think, very special people of wonderful character, if they're able to exist in that world without turning into people like Jerry Seinfeld. You know, there are people out there. I'll give you a great example. You know, a guy that I think when I see him on talk shows, I like him. He's cool. Denzel Washington, all over the place promoting his new movie, American Gangster, right now. Comes out, talks about his childhood, talks about the movie, talks about, you know, why he's doing the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, leaves, and it seems kind of grounded, and then you never hear from him again, and he seems totally comfortable. And Denzel, I mean, is there a bigger movie star than Denzel Washington?
I'll go the other way. You got the cat who's in that movie with him, Russell Crowe.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. He comes on the show. He does a good job. He's Russell Crowe. God damn, he knows he's Russell Crowe.
Right.
But he doesn't sit there the whole time and say, hey, mates. I'm Russell Crowe.
Both bigger than
I'm so glad that I can. I'm so glad that I can make you happy.
Why don't you suck me D?
What would if Russell Crowe was Jerry Seinfeld? He'd be walking around going, the audience is a child. And the child wants things you have to give to them.
Who are these bravehearts?
I love those guys. I love those real down-to-earth guys that just don't. I guess they've been stars for enough time. I think with
who
Jerry.
Who is this gladiator?
Jerry Seinfeld still. You know what I chalk it up to? Jerry Seinfeld is still insecure.
Uh-huh.
With all his money and all his fame, he might play the good game that he's not, that he's Mr. Confident. I don't think he is. And you know when he does that real Jerry smile where he looks like Barbaro? Have you seen the smile I'm talking about? Where he curls his lip up and he says, I swear to God, you want to hear a horse whinny come out? When he goes, oh.
I think it's our fault. I think it's our fault as citizens that we have found no one who captivates us, who has entertained us
mm-hmm.
as much as that guy has since his show went off.
I mean, but it's off. The show's been off. But the show's been off.
But because there's nothing that's come to replace it, we look at him now, and he considers himself to be like the next Cosby. He's the authority. Like
the last word in comedy.
Well, here's another one that he was throwing out there. Yeah, I work with a lot of comedians on this movie. Yeah, Chris Rock. Yeah. People wonder, why could we be friends? Well, it's all about comedy. Yeah. Why would people question that? Jerry, what do you mean by that?
Right.
What do you mean by that, Jerry? Uh-huh. If I saw you with Chris Rock, I would think nothing of it.
I think Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld have been friends for a long time,
uh-huh.
the way I understood it.
But what he is saying from his own preachy angle is, well, look how Chris Rock works.
Right.
Look, he works blue.
Oh.
He's dangerous. He's out there on the edge.
That might be the reason that Jerry Seinfeld's fusing onto him.
Am I doing with him? You're wondering that. Well, it's about the art of comedy.
It's a cartoon movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, go out, promote the movie, go see it. I think it's funny. I've never seen anything. I don't think I've seen a film that where I've been bombarded
never
with more promotional merchandising, please, everything than this movie B movie.
Please don't go just because it's a gigantic plot by Jerry Seinfeld and NBC Universal.
I will be taking my kids to see American Gangster this weekend.
There you go, Mike.
Good for you. Just because I'm boycotting that one.
That's
I'll be
right.
taking my kids to see 30 Days of Night as
Hello.
Opposed to going to the Seinfeld.
Don and Mike, what's happening? Hi there.
Hey, Don, I feel for this weekend, man, but that movie you're talking about is awful. It's called The Family Stone. With it's not Owen Wilson, it's Luke Wilson.
Thank you, my friend.
Luke Wilson.
I had the misfortune of watching that last Christmas on HBO. Awful, awful movie about Diane Keaton. It's I think I mentioned it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, The Family Stone. Is there another one where she's the lady that's in her late life crisis?
It's a preachy movie. It's a holiday chick movie.
Right.
She's got breast cancer. Craig T. Nelson is the only member of the family that knows.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect son comes back with the perfect girl. She falls in love with the Owen brother that's the stoner. She also has a son who's gay and deaf.
Oh.
And Sarah Jessica Parker, who's the girlfriend, is intolerant of gays.
Oh, my.
And it's that whole thing where they want to teach you a lesson while you're watching it. Then,
oh, God.
The movie, and real pick-me-up, it ends the next Christmas, and Diane Keaton is dead. But everybody's resolved their differences.
Well, that's
something. The good news.
That's something.
That Sarah Jessica Parker is with the stoner, not with the good brother, and the gay guy who's deaf. Uh-huh. They've now adopted a baby.
Right.
And everybody's understanding of everybody else.
Sure.
And
just like real life.
There you go. Merry Christmas.
Well, you know, I think if you're going to meet families, you really ought to study every movie with Kevin Spacey. You know, because he's been in a few of those, too, you know, where he gathers with the quirky, weird family. I would study all the quirky people. Kevin Spacey. I would Juliette Lewis, all her movies. You know, I would study that. And, you know, just so you can handle the quirkiest relative you come across.
I think I am really going to stick with probably Meet the Parents.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Meet the Parents is the gold standard. I like that movie. And then who knows, maybe where this New Year's Eve party is, they'll have an indoor pool and you can play volleyball.
Maybe Meet the Parents with just a touch, mind you, of Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover, another perfect guy to study, just based on, and study him in the remake of Willard.
I like that.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, yeah, Owen Wilson is fresh out of rehab and now dating Jessica Simpson.
Is he really?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Who did I hear Tony Romo is dating?
Brittany.
Oh, well, Brittany,
he's
that's
dated
right.
Jessica
he's
Simpson,
Britney
too.
No, Brittany Spears, that's right. Tony Romo.
I thought he was Tony Romo was all hot and heavy with Carrie Underwood.
No, that one broke off. He had to dedicate himself to football.
Oh, so he couldn't stay with her that long?
Yeah.
Does he have a southern accent?
No, she does.
Oh, okay.
I saw a quote from her saying that.
Oh, really?
We were nothing but friends.
Ooh.
He had to dedicate himself to football.
Jessica Simpson or Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
She's real.
Yeah.
Plus, she doesn't have any other guys.
Yeah.
Like spoogies on her.
Yeah, she doesn't have Lachey spoogies.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Probably Nick Andrew.
Kid Rock and every other piece of garbage she's slept with.
Kid Rock. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near where Kid Rock had been.
Hello, Don and Mike.
All sorts of like Waffle House VD cooties.
Hello there.
Hey, I was watching the HBO First Look on B-Movie. And, they're all effing each other's D's the whole time.
I know, they do that on those shows.
But the grossest part was they're talking about Matthew Broderick and Jerry Seinfeld, how special it was that they did their lines together instead of in separate studios.
That
kind of crap.
Thank you for celebrating that with us.
Oh, fantastic. Right on.
No, I meant to them, not to you, my friend.
Thank you guys. And it was so nice to come into the studio. You were both from New York, and we said, why don't we do our lines together?
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, boys.
Hello.
Hi, boys.
Hi there.
Sure was disappointed when that muscly arm Joe didn't come to my house yesterday.
Oh, it's a woman who wanted Joe to visit.
You wanted Joe in his tiger suit to visit you?
I think this
That's
is a woman.
Right. I had a whole freezer full of popsicles in the basement for him.
Really? Well, what would you have planned for Joe when he came over to visit?
Oh, it's nice to have a muscly arm tiger around the house.
How old were you when your testicles dropped?
Oh, about 60.
We didn't get your name,
sir. This is Mr. Herbert.
Mr. Herbert. You ever spend any time in scouting?
I love me some scouts. With their nice little shorts and their ties.
Mr. Herbert scares me.
I always thought it was something about the name Wee Blows.
Wee Blows, yeah.
I thought about that one as a kid.
Yeah.
I used to go goof about it, like a Mo thing. Wee Blows.
Wee Blows.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike. I want to welcome you guys to Omaha, Nebraska. I used to listen to you guys in Wichita several years ago, and Buzz missed you back in Wichita, too. But anyway.
Yeah, are we on?
Are we on a radio station, or are you listening on the computer?
I'm listening on the radio station, right? Yeah, on the radio. Actually, I'm listening to you on the phone right now. But
so we're on in Omaha.
Yeah, the new station just started up here today, I think.
Oh, again, it would be news to us.
How about that? But what's the station?
It's 92, what is it? Heck, I can't tell you the call name.
It's an FM station, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's an FM station.
In
it's,
Omaha?
95.1.
95.1 in Omaha.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah, I remember listening to you guys out of Wichita.
Climb every mountain. Yeah. Mike!
Yeah.
They can never take it away from us!
I know.
Finally!
Move away from
an affiliate!
Radio good.
Omaha!
Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, hey.
All right, is that where all the insurance companies are?
That was quite a bit of them around here. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, mutual.
Mutual, Omaha,
yeah,
you know,
mutual.
People here taking care of, you know, the different animals and stuff.
Yeah.
What's farming? I've been in radio.
Have we ever
been
on in Nebraska?
Never, Mike.
You have now.
I've been on the radio since 1974. Finally!
Finally.
Yes!
Finally,
I know
Omaha.
You share my joy, Mike!
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah,
Omaha!
I come out here and do a show at the Quest Center.
Yeah, count on it.
Man, oh man.
Now that we know.
Finally, the big time, let me just say, wait for the offers to come in now. Mm-hmm. Once the individual talents on this show are recognized,
you get Omaha.
By Omaha, Nebraska.
I believe we are officially on in the heartland now.
If you can make it there.
Well, Wichita was heartland, wasn't it?
Well, then I consider Omaha, Nebraska to be heartland.
Uh-huh. Sir, perhaps you don't follow. It's been a dream of mine. To be on in Omaha.
Do you want to know why, sir?
Why?
Because Don, a lot of people don't know this, and I've spoken about this for years. Don, well, would have had probably one of the more successful careers as a Nebraska Cornhusker until he blew his knee up badly.
Not this year. We suck this year.
No, I'm talking about in his career. That's why. That's why he's charged up about it.
Mike, I'll be honest with you.
You still bleed Husker red.
As you know, it was no accident.
You mean in the injury?
Who was the coach back then? Like in the early 70s?
Of the Nebraska Cornhuskers? Cornhuskers?
Tom Osborne?
You're better than I am if, you know.
Was it Barry Switzer?
Weeb Eubank.
Let's say that. Let's say it was Barry Switzer.
Okay. Right. Wasn't he a Sooners coach?
Yeah, somebody find out who the coach, please, of Nebraska was in the early 70s.
In the early 70s, I think Nebraska was a powerhouse team. Pretty sure.
Well, Rob just brought me the whole thing about the New York Times, about Jerry Seinfeld. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Guys, you got that?
As soon as I hit enter.
It's a big key that doesn't smell like oranges.
Bob Devaney, a name that'll live in infamy.
Bob Devaney, Coach Devaney.
Who was the coach after him?
Tom Osborne.
Tom Osborne.
There you go.
That's the reason I left Oklahoma in my career.
I had no idea. I thought it was a serious knee injury.
It wasn't.
What happened?
Tom forced himself on me.
Oh, my God.
Tom Osborne said, okay, we're going to run over some plays. First, I want you to take off that uniform. Mm-hmm.
Well, was this the coach you were telling me that used to have you back to his apartment to listen to records?
Yes.
Oh, God. I had no idea.
Coach Tom Osborne.
Oh, that's right. He's the one that had you come over and listen to records, and then on weekends would have you clean out his attic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then you stumbled upon an extra guest room up in his attic, and that's when I'm sorry about that.
He made me do bad things, Mommy.
I know you had to get out of therapy. Many, many years in therapy to, you know, to deal with that.
And he said, don't worry. We'll say that you have a bruised cartilage. And I said, but it's my bottom hurts.
Oh, the coach. That evil coach. Well, that's why you went to the junior college team after that.
Yeah, Tom Osborne.
Uh-huh. That's when you started, you had a pretty good career, almost a good career with Mount St. Mary's.
I like rape.
All right, here's the Jerry Seinfeld thing.
Hi, here I am promoting B-movie.
Well, Mr. Seinfeld may wear Nikes. He lives in an exclusive residence on Central Park West, has a fabled collection of Porsches, travels to and from his stand-up days by helicopter. In person, he can be affable, but he doesn't hide his arrogance. When one stunned onlooker at the boathouse, this is after a little place in the tavern,
right,
at the boathouse asked for his autograph, Mr. Seinfeld said, sure, then kept walking right to his table. While attending the United States Open, Mr. Seinfeld recalled he was approached by a well-attired fan who handed him a business card and invited Mr. Seinfeld to visit his brokerage house. Jerry said, we don't know each other. You're a stranger. He says, yes, I really like you. Jerry said, thank you. This is as far as we go. And then he says,
oh, is that what he said to the guy?
Yeah.
No need to say that.
And then Jerry Seinfeld says, this is a sophisticated guy that doesn't understand the TV only works one way.
His way.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, he's a stain.
On this afternoon, Mr. Seinfeld was playful but perturbed about a short article he had read over the weekend in the newspaper, the New York Times, 69 words about B-movie that described the film as his effort at gingerly re-entering mainstream entertainment. Gingerly, he said with emphasis, shaking his head. If only they knew.
God, he's just an evil guy.
Smarter
he's getting more evil every time. So did the Times kind of slam him a little bit?
Yeah.
Good. He deserves it. Needs to be cut down a peg.
All right. So that's
or knocked down a peg, I should say.
Yes.
You cut down a tree, you knock down a peg.
I'm sorry, I've lost my equilibrium. I'm doing a 180 right now. It's like, what do you do when a lifelong dream has finally been fulfilled? And
Omaha, baby.
And more importantly, how do we know for sure?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told us we were on in Omaha.
Well, you know, it's a great state to be on. It's also my favorite Springsteen album.
I got nothing but bad memories there. That locker room.
That's Nebraska. Right.
The pain.
Oh, God.
I want to learn all there is to learn on today's show about Nebraska. I'm excited about it.
All you got to know is watch out for that coach. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, radio gods.
You know who was there, Mike? I remember him. Jerry Taggy. He was the quarterback. T-A-G-G-E was his name.
Jerry Taggy.
He stood and watched. He left and said, hey, Rook.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Jerry Taggy's where the whole concept of tag team came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi. Yes, you said that already.
Hi there.
Sorry about that. Hey, I just want to say Jeremy, Jason, Eric, they all suck. But
Are these your buddies? Are these your friends?
Yeah, they're my buddies. They're probably listening right now.
Now, why are you compelled to say, what are the guys' names again?
Jeremy, Eric, and Jason.
Jeremy, Eric, and Jason. What have they done to you where you were so compelled to say that on the radio?
They suck.
You know, I think they'd like it more than not like saying that I said their name on the air. So.
Understood. Okay.
Gotcha. So what's up?
Oh, I want to tell you a story about my honeymoon.
I should tell you that radio only works one way. We'd be doomed if we had that philosophy.
True.
That's okay. Terrible.
Okay, come on, please.
We'd like to hear it.
Okay,
as you know, the audience is a child.
Right.
On my honeymoon.
Yes.
We were on our honeymoon in the bathroom after we got married, taking a bath together, and she was feeding me chocolate dipped strawberries. And I told her the one thing that this bathtub doesn't have is jets. And so I farted. And it was the worst smelling fart ever, and she started to throw up all over me.
Beautiful. This is on your honeymoon.
That's beautiful. Was there alcohol involved?
Yes.
Oh, that's a delightful story.
Just like baby vomit.
How long ago was this?
About a year and a half ago.
Well, thank God you were in the tub.
You're still married?
Yes, we are.
Well, there you go.
Thank you. Goodbye.
What? Thank you.
I don't know why, you know, that was so poorly told, but I love the story. It's so romantic.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of.
Yeah.
And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given.
Right.
Because it'll make them ultimately less happy.
It'll be
a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
God, no awareness of the memory of the American people. You know, and not the, only, the attention span. Right?
Not only is he pushing this Pixar crap down our throats, he also conveniently had time to hold up the big
the box set.
Encyclopedia box set.
Just happened to have
of
it.
All nine seasons of his show.
Oh, God. I swear to God, I'm so tired.
4 years ago, you walk into an animation studio to make an animated movie, something you know nothing about.
Nothing.
Some people would say crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Recipe for failure.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. But, you know, it's at least different.
What was he thinking?
Not you, Jerry, because you're brave. You're like Superman.
Such a brave move when you've got all those millions to walk into an animation studio.
You know what I mean? Different failure is at least something. But Jeffrey Katzenberg was willing to teach me how to make an animated movie as I was making it.
Hey, hold on.
Really?
Translation, Jeffrey Katzenberg made the animated movie.
Right.
Right. Explain to me how that movie is made, Jerry. Explain to me that whole animation process.
Right.
Sure.
And he believed in me, and he felt that I could learn this, and I did. I went there. It was like
he believed in me, a youngster with nothing to prove, swinging for the fences.
Everything to lose.
He gave a kid that had no track record a chance. He really took a gamble.
And I learned, and we were making the movie, and I'm learning the experience at the same time.
But if you knew then what you know now, would you have done it?
Oh, absolutely.
You would.
I loved it. I loved it. You know what it was like? It was like someone giving you new Play-Doh to play with. I mean, I had done television, obviously, and performed in clubs.
I'm going to make Play-Doh right now of my scrotum. I'm going to make a cast.
A new Play-Doh.
Cast mode.
I'm going to do, yeah, I'm going to use your new Play-Doh to make the wrinkled old man.
My nuts. Play with that, Jerry. It's like Play-Doh.
A new Play-Doh. It's a new
and all
game.
Of a sudden, I was dealing with these animated characters and trying to make them act and talk funny, and I just loved it.
Yeah, it's new Play-Doh, but it comes with a big price tag, right? $150 million, is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. That's the biggest lie of
all. I have no idea.
Yeah. I was working with these actors and trying to make... No, the animators were working with the actors. The Please. Computer geeks that do that. The newfound computer animation.
My fellow citizens of Omaha... Do not go to see B-movie.
You're being brainwashed. They're forcing it down your throat.
It's a trick.
Finally, we're able to get our message out.
Amen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
What's going on?
Hey, I could say the same to you.
Go ahead.
No, you got something to say?
Yes, it's Sacramento. Giving a shout-out to my new homeboys in Omaha. Welcome to the show.
Well, now they're doomed.
Bye!
Just like Jerry Seinfeld, an inflated view of himself.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Well, hello there.
Yes, we said hello, yes. And now it would be time for you to respond.
Mr. Dumas,
your turn.
You're next. The topic is rectal itching.
And I had this incredible itching, and I thought that I would try to manufacture my own Preparation H.
George.
Preparation Jerry.
George. Georgie Scratch.
Well, what am I going to do?
Georgie.
Yeah. And I think I'll have my wife come out with a cookbook.
You think Michael Richards is just drunk, just screaming the N-word, throwing empty bottles of Jack Daniels at the TV? Shut up, Jerry!
I could have been in that, Jerry. I could have been in that movie.
What about the other guy? It's the summer of George.
Oh, George. Yeah, why couldn't I play a fat bee?
And let's not even talk about Julie Louis-Dreyfus because she has to go home to...
Christopher
Brad Hall.
Oh, Brad Hall.
Yeah. Brad Hall.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I always get those guys confused.
So that poor woman is a...
Who's Christopher Guest married to?
Jamie Lee Curtis,
that's right.
The hermaphrodite.
They're all making beautiful babies together.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
What's going on?
Hey.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I'm getting ready to go to the Van Halen concert, buddies.
Get ready to be disappointed, buddies.
Hey, F you.
Hey, why that hostility?
Come on, we're Van Halen fans. We've heard the clips of the boys out in this new version. It's not too great.
Hey, can I give a shout-out to my people I'm going with?
He moves on.
No, not after you said F you.
I'm just joking, dude.
Well, hey, dude, that was not the best way to joke. We were all very offended.
Well, I'm
going to take your Van Halen tickets and exchange them for tickets to B-Movie.
Well, dude, come on. Hook me up.
Dude.
Come on, dude.
You know what? You see, I think we've patched it all up.
Go ahead. Who do you want to say hi to?
I want to say hi to my...
Isn't that fun?
Bye!
We haven't done that in a while. Dude.
Oh, when we come back...
Gay.
What is Homovember?
Homovember!
We'll find out right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Charlie.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show. And see if she likes the goods.
Oh, Miss Corningstone. I wasn't expecting company. Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
Well, you asked me to come by, sir.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting. I did over 1,000. You have your ubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsimus. It's boring, but it's part of my life. I'm just going to grab this shirt if you don't mind. Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Marl Kiwa.
After the photo mat was destroyed, the bear scampered back into the woods.
Apparently, he wasn't too happy with his color prints.
From the entire Channel 4 news team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Yeah, sure, boy. It's the Don and Mike Show, boy. Yeah, sure. It's funny,
sure,
right?
Boy. Yeah, sure.
Mommy boobies.
Sure there, boy.
Yeah, what there. The bleep happened here?
Oh, well, my dream has been broken.
Why?
I'm really sorry, Don.
What? Turn the music down, please. We're not on in Omaha!
No.
I know.
Lincoln is no substitute. Someone tell my red ass that we're not on in Omaha.
It's Lincoln.
Yes, it's Lincoln.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nobody from the University of Nebraska ever touched me in Lincoln. It means nothing to be on in Lincoln. My dream is to be on in Omaha.
Now, maybe we can have some Lincoln success and that will lead us into Omaha.
Work our way up.
To finally face the man.
The man, baby.
Face the man.
Mm-hmm. Which is the place where they husk corn?
That's Nebraska. Incidentally,
that's Omaha.
Tom Osborne, I think, was just hired back in some capacity by Nebraska, and he's got to be as old as dirt.
I mean,
now he's got to be like 80 or something
Well, he still could be dangerous, so you stay away from him.
Hired him at middle linebacker.
At Lincoln, Nebraska.
So anyway, what's the deal with that, Robbie, with being
Rob,
on?
We know anything about Lincoln?
In Lincoln, land of Lincoln.
All signs point that it's KRKR Classic Rock 95.1. They were going to notify Westwood One as soon as they flipped.
But they didn't.
They did not notify them, so they've left voicemails, and they're trying to find out exactly what's going on now.
But we're being heard in Lincoln, so
yes, they took a lot of Westwood One shows to flip the station over, and we're going to notify the network as soon as they did it.
It's one of those deals.
Very
yep.
good. Huh?
So to the people of Lincoln, Nebraska, sorry you're not Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll do the best we can, but I know you're probably pissed because you expected to tune into your regular low-rated classic rock.
The Eagle,
is that what they used to be?
The Eagle has flown.
Are they something new?
They're now Cracker. KRKR.
Well,
Cracker.
Let's keep the former listeners of the Eagle happy, as they'll find out every day on our show at this time. We do a little feature called Get the Lead Out.
Mm-hmm.
So let's rock it out now.
Here's today's Lead Classic.
But I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, wrong.
It sounded like Regis Philbin.
Wrong sure lead. Down, Mike. Wrong one.
Get the Lead Out.
What am I looking for?
This is Man Watchers Compliment Week.
All right, gotcha. Again, my apologies for those who rock.
Give me lead or give me death.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Let's rock.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Give me some.
You're listening to the Eagle.
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine.
sunshine day. Everybody's laughing.
Woo!
What happened to him? Is he here? Where is Squirrel?
Squirrel. Is he real?
That was it. Is he real? Izzy. Hello, Dan. My name is Izzy Real.
Izzy Real.
I forgot our morning zoo names. I'm Shoot.
And I'm Liver.
And I'm Weed.
Kid Hitler.
Yeah, baby.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
I'm calling. This might interest Rob more than anybody. I watched a show on the History Channel called Hi Hitler about his doctor giving him a shot every day, and that all these German doctors were talking about it.
That's right. It was Dr. Nick.
Dr. Nick Hitler.
Hitler's doctor, Dr.
Nick Goering.
If only I could have seen.
I say, come on, man. We can take Russia, Jack.
That girl last night, she gave the best.
If only I could have seen what I had done by overtaking all of those countries.
I got a great picture I found online last night of Adolf Hitler in a jeweled jumpsuit.
I bet he had a kit.
But he's horribly overweight.
That girl, she got pregnant with a Polaroid.
Priscilla, I want you to come over here, darling, in my bunker and give me my cyanide tablet now. And don't worry about my flatulence. You know, that could be either Hitler or Elvis.
Hi, this is Adolf Hitler. I would like you to send me up a bowl of ice cream with just a few cookies, which I can eat in bed.
As soon as we surrounded Paris, energy surged through my body, and I said, bring me some German chocolate cake.
I would like to ride on the half track with a bag of hot dog rolls.
Perhaps you know this Fraulein. Her name is Priscilla Braun.
That's right, Priscilla. I call her Cilla. Dankeschön.
Hello there. This is Adolf Hitler. Have you seen my monkey Scatter?
I have some bad news. The monkey Scatter is frozen. Frozen to the cage. That's a disappointment.
The Allies just shot my hand. I should get something good for this, right, Jack?
I think for my victory dance, when I've conquered the country of France, I will do my Elvis pose. Jawohl, Dolph. Where is my pants? My leather pants?
Everybody wait in the bunker. I'm going to ride around on my horse and eat hot dog rolls. I'm Adolf Hitler.
Where is my book?
Yeah.
Similarities are mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
This is my book. It's called My Struggle, or Mein Kampf.
My mother, Gladys Hitler.
It all started in Tupelo, Germany.
And my twin brother, Jesse Garen Hitler.
My name is Adolf Aaron Presley.
There is
AAP.
That's my other girlfriend, Ginger Braun.
Taking care of business.
All techniques into one. Uberalas.
Elvis Hitler 8.
Now listen, when we have the big rally, make sure that my father, Vernon Hitler, is sitting close by to me, please. Dankeschön.
And don't forget, get the guys from the Berlin Mafia. Get Red and Sonny.
Red Goering, Sonny Goebbels.
Hello there, Don.
Colonel.
Don and Mike Show, hello. That's right. Colonel Tom.
Hey, guys.
Colonel Tom of the SS.
Colonel Tom Himmler.
Hello, what's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know that the University of Nebraska is in Lincoln.
Excellent.
It is Creighton that is in Omaha.
Well, now it's coming back. That's where Tom Osborne attacked.
There, you're set. You're back where you need to be, so we can get excited about Lincoln, Nebraska. What's another fact you can tell us about Lincoln?
They're the cornholers.
Oh dear. Okay. That's so disrespectful.
It is.
Hello.
Turn
that radio down, please. Hello. Excuse me. I used my outside voice for a moment. Hello, trusted listener, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. I wanted to tell you, I actually went to Hitler's doctor. His name was Dr. Broscheid.
You actually went to Hitler's doctor?
I did. Yes, I did. When I was 18 and I needed a physical to go off to college, my girlfriend at the time said, oh, well, go to my mother's doctor, and I did, and I found out later that he had been one of many of Hitler's doctors.
Huh. I don't know if I would use that as a recommendation.
Well, I mean, you don't sound like an old guy. He had to be a very old man, I would imagine.
He was. He was a creepy, you know, when you're 18, I mean, he was definitely a creepy.
Oh, was this doctor like that guy in that movie, Apt Pupil?
That movie, it always gets back to that. Yeah. Put on the uniform.
Please make sure you have paid your bill on time.
Now, did you ever, I'm going to suspend disbelief and pretend that
good
what you're
you.
Saying is on the up and up.
Okay.
Did it ever come up in conversation? Did he mention to you, hey, I want you to turn your head and cough. You know, did I tell you I was Hitler's doctor? I held Hitler's ball.
Yeah, how'd you find out?
Later, my girlfriend's grandmother told me, oh, yeah, he used to be Hitler's doctor. But really, there was no real physical. He just asked me two or three questions. He said, okay, and he just signed on the bottom, and that was it. There was no physical, really, at all.
So he cheated.
Yeah, essentially.
Of course, right. Nazis are cheaters.
Yes, they cheat all the time.
What color are your eyes?
Hazel.
That's why he had no interest.
Hazel. He would have liked them if they were blau.
Hello there.
Yeah.
Don and Mike show. What's happening?
That's beautiful.
Hey, who did Hitler in the producer's movie? Was it the comedian Dick Shawn or Richard Shawn or somebody like that?
Dick Shawn. The guy was in Get Smart as well, right?
And I have a question regarding that. The new play that's going to be on Broadway, The Young Frankenstein,
right.
Is that the same guy that was in the movie of the producers? Is he the same guy that was the director's sidekick, the choreographer for
the
show?
Yes, I think it is. It's Roger Bart.
He's a funny guy. What's his name? Roger?
Roger Bart.
Roger Bart.
Hello, Don and
Mike. I'm gay for that movie now, too. I watch it all the time. Rob finally hipped me to it. Yeah. It's
Do you
actually
have the DVD?
Funny. Keep It Gay, I think, one of the funniest songs ever in the history
of
Broadway.
It has the funniest outtake reel on the DVD.
Oh, really?
It's like 20 minutes, and you'll laugh the whole time.
Keep It Gay. We got to talk about Homovember. Hello,
yes.
Don and Mike show. One last call. We'll talk about Homovember. Hello.
What's up, my little brother?
Hi there.
What's happening?
Hey,
you know what? You know what the good thing about corn and peanuts? You
know, bye!
That guy's worthless. All right, it's Homovember, and here's what we're going to do.
All right, we all know what that means.
Over the years, here's what Mike and I have done. We have actually done our show from a Mayflower van.
Super duper!
We've done that more than once.
For Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We've had Rob dress up like a pilgrim.
We called it Thanksgiving on the Mayflower, don't you know?
We had a naked Thanksgiving when we had a naked family come in.
That's true. And that wasn't just roast turkey we were smelling.
We had, my God, one year we had like a divorced family come in.
We've had dysfunctional families involve themselves.
Right.
We had I believe we had the redneckiest family.
Oh, yeah, we had a very
redneck
Thanksgiving. That was a good one.
And that was a total home run, too.
Oh, yeah.
This year, Thanksgiving is 3 weeks from today.
Right.
Today. Mm-hmm. So our show the day before Thanksgiving is always a festive one.
Sure.
This year, it will be Homovember. We're going to have our good friend, Homo Joe, be the official greeter, the maitre d'.
Maitre d'.
He's going to be the concierge.
The host.
Of homosexual fun.
Wonderful.
Well, here's where we need everybody listening to help out. First, the meal itself, we need somebody to cater it. We'd like a first-class catering, please.
Please.
Of course, trade out mentions for stuff that...
Preferably a gay caterer.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I can do it.
I know you could.
Yeah, I'll do that.
You got lots of gay stuff on your menu.
Yeah, I think we could get the regular stuff probably together.
Now, could you get us like a traditional restaurant, a traditional turkey dinner?
Yeah,
together?
My guy James can do anything you want. I can get that done.
All right, well then, courtesy of Mike's restaurant, we'll do that.
What's the name of it? No, I'm just kidding.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
That's right. That's Look it up. Yeah, we'll talk later.
Oh, it's you know, it's the Hanger Club. Mike O'Mara's Hanger Club.
I think we will do turkeys. We'll have a couple of turkeys and mashed potatoes and everything.
So here's the plan. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be soliciting to find 10 very special gay men, 10 very special single gay men who want to meet another special gay man. We will be having a drive home plan. We'll have somebody to drive everybody home. So we'll be serving wine.
Very good.
And all of this will be going on above us in our office.
Right.
On the day before Thanksgiving.
We've got a big office up there, really plenty of room to have a good Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. As the show is happening upstairs, it will be happening on the radio. We will be open to any and all suggestions as far as things to make it a better party.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be looking for the most special gay men out there,
right?
Not just run-of-the-mill gay men, special gay men, as hopefully selected by our friend Homo Joe.
Right. Are we going to hook up the are we going to have couples? Is this going to be kind of a dating thing?
Yeah.
Can couples participate?
No. Thing of only.
All singles only.
Joe wants this for thing of only.
Wonderful.
It's a mixer.
Nobody. This is Joe that's putting his and not Joe Artinger, of course. This is right. Homo Joe. Very good.
Homo Joe. You know, he of the Campbell Soup fortune.
So our Homovember singles Thanksgiving mixer.
That's right, and they're all going to be meeting up there and having their gay fun and
very good.
Feeding each other and drinking, and we'll have microphones up there. And
very good.
At some point, I know that when I was chatting with Joe about this, he had mentioned something like they could all take their shirts off if it goes right and have fun with mashed potatoes.
Yeah, very good. It'll be very exciting.
We will have stuff to view on the video player upstairs, too. That would go their way.
Yeah, we're going to have a flat screen with gay porno going.
Oh, dear.
And I've managed to find some Judy Garland music. So
show tunes.
Yeah, it'd be very nice.
Judy Garland and show tunes. What a great way to celebrate Homovember.
Now, you might be saying, hey, Don, I'm like, come on, why are you making fun of homos? Well, first off, it's so easy.
Right.
And second off, seriously, out of all of the people that we talk about and make fun of on the show, ourselves included, really nobody gets the joke better. Mm-hmm. Than gays.
The gay community in Washington and around the country has always supported this show because they get the joke. They know where it comes from, and they get it, and that's why, well, Don, I consider this giving back. Mm-hmm. Giving back to the gay community.
It's a tribute, really.
It's just going to be for what is traditionally, I'm not, this heaviest travel day of the year. I don't want to say that in the DJ way just yet, Mike.
I know one of the first phone calls you're going to get, though. I know what you're going to get.
Tom can't come.
No, that's not the call. You're going to get calls from the sisters, from the ladies in the life who are going to say, why are you discriminating against lesbians?
We'll do a nice lesbian Christmas if you like that.
Nice lesbian
but
Christmas.
But it's Homovember, and just trust me on
Lesember.
This. I just got a picture in my mind. We go upstairs, and it's 10 guys. Their pasty shirts off.
So 5 and 5 or 10
yeah,
and 10?
Five and five.
5 and 5.
5 and 5. It's a mixer, and Joe will be in charge of just about everything.
Oh, fantastic.
Perfect. Okay, so.
All right, well, I'll get you the food.
If you are at all interested, send us an email at donandmikewebsite.com, and we'll have Homo Joe on the show next week to talk about it. We certainly need a lot more than the food that O'Meara's will be donating and the gay porn that we got our hands on. What we'd really like to do is turn the entire upper level of this building into a tribute to all that is gay.
Yes, yes. And I think that, decorating comes into play with that also. Oh,
yeah. Posters.
Yes.
Big, explicit pictures blown up. We were talking about penis placemats.
Right.
There is a store where you can get like genital, salt, and pepper shakers.
Wonderful.
Everything will be done. All the accent will be on the penis.
That's
for the Mike for the corn on the cob.
Right.
You know those little things you stick in the ends of the corn on the cob.
Yes. Holder? Yeah. Absolutely. We have the special holders.
We have some of those. I'm not kidding you. This time, right. Kids, little penises.
That's wonderful.
That you stick in each end.
That'll be delightful,
so to speak.
And it'll just be the gayest. It'll be great.
It'll be fantastic.
And I know lots of gay guys will want to get in on this action.
Right.
It'll be hot, hot, hot.
Hot Homovember.
So send us an email, and we'll talk more about it, I guess, on Monday.
And it all takes place the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it will be just the microphone on upstairs.
Yeah.
Listen in occasionally.
And us listening in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We'll be fighting our homophobia by, not running up there. Or maybe we'll go up occasionally.
Why fight it?
Yeah, why fight it? We just, we're going to want to be right
that's
in the middle
right.
of that.
There we go. I knew this would happen. Uh-huh. Hello, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
What?
Hey, I got a question.
What's your question, Tommy?
At Tuesday's election day, and I'd like to know if y'all could come down to Falls Church and get y'all's picture taken with me.
On election day?
Yeah.
We don't vote in Falls Church.
I know, because the Ark of Northern Virginia is in Falls Church, because I'm...
Tom, I will if you can spell the word election.
Election?
Yes.
E-L-I-C-E-N-D.
Elecand.
Right.
Perfect.
Tom.
All right.
All right. Now, it's for our holiday card. We're trying to get you or Mike and you and me
right, Tom?
Yes.
Can we send Matt?
How about if Matt the Pollock goes?
No. They need you and Mike.
Well, seriously, Tom, we're probably not going to be able to do that. Can we send Matt?
Matt? Who's Matt the Pollock? Who is that?
Matt's the regular guy on the show.
That's our intern.
Why can't you all do it?
Well, if we can't do it, can we send him?
No. How about Joe Arlinger?
Joe Arlinger?
Yeah, my buddy Joe.
Joe?
Joe?
Joe's not here, man.
Joe is too.
Joe's not here, man.
Joe is too. Joe just did a...
Tom, I don't vote in Falls Church either.
No. This is just a holiday card. We need pictures of me, Don, and Mike on a holiday card.
Well, can't you get the picture taken sometime somewhere else?
Like...
Oh, dear. Like what I've done. Look what I've done. I've been tricked.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You know who would be good for that picture?
Who?
It would require another phone call, but Mr. Liddy.
Mr. Who? Liddy?
Yeah, G. Gordon Liddy. Call him.
G. Gordon
no.
Liddy. Yeah.
No, not G. Gordon Liddy.
Call him or call okay. John Pop.
All right, Tom.
Happy Homovember, Tom.
We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Hey, where did Super Dave move to?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
He can stay out there and don't come back.
What? Now, that's not very nice.
I know. Oh, okay. Why did he move out there for?
Because he'd already, like, established himself here in Washington as the best person we've ever had on the show.
It's me.
No, Super Dave.
Yes, it is.
How old are you again, Tom?
47.
47. Super Dave was so good that we said, take a long vacation to New Orleans.
I think it was really nice that you and Don and Mike paid for his vacation in New Orleans, too.
I didn't do that.
No. Don and Mike paid for Super Dave's vacation.
When is he coming back?
And they bought him a lot of gifts.
When is he coming back?
Whenever he wants.
I am Iring Tay of a...
Hey, when is he coming back?
Etard Ray.
Watch it.
Seriously say.
Watch it.
Seriously
hey,
say.
Hey, Charlie.
He's not here.
Yes, he is.
Hello.
Hey, Charlie.
Hello. Hello.
I don't like to anger the etarded Ray.
Watch it.
Why, Ben?
Why, hey, Bob?
The Ippled Cray.
Hey, Bob, tell me to watch
the
it, please.
Endily May Ippled Cray.
Watch it.
Super Dave was the best guy, regular guy we've ever had on the show.
Watch it, Ray.
Watch it.
A lot funnier than you.
Oop, Gray, hey.
Watch it.
Watch it.
Hard Tay.
Tell me to spell something.
You going to spell something?
Yeah, tell me. I'll tell you. You want to have a spelling bee?
I don't know how to tell you this, my friend. Tom, you're borderline retarded, so I don't want to hurt your feelings. Well,
watch
too late.
It.
Too late.
Watch, he's going to get mad. He's going to get mad. Watch that anger.
Say that. We say intellectual disability.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we say.
That's what we say. We also say, please don't call, Tom.
Watch it.
Watch it.
Please don't call sometimes.
Watch it. I'm Mike's friend. Mike? Charlie. Yeah.
Yes, Tom, you're my friend.
Hey, Charlie.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Charlie. Hello,
Tom.
Hello.
Mike's not tired of this.
Watch it.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, Tom.
Are y'all going to do it or what?
Do what?
No, Tom, no. No pictures, no nothing.
Watch it.
No nothing.
Watch it.
If I only had a brain.
Hello?
He's gone.
Sure. No pictures, no nothing. That got him going.
I need a gigantic fly swatter the next time he calls. I was so near tarred rage.
I know.
It was very hard to keep it in my pants. Because
he doesn't
know
any better.
That's right.
You know, though, I always like to think if Tom had been dealt the full deck, exactly what type of person he'd be. I think he would be very aggressive. Uh-huh. I think he would be very – he's aggressive now.
Rob, there's no way we're going to do that. Rob Spiewak emails, hey, Don and Mike, Tom would make a great Thanksgiving Indian for your Homovember show.
You said it out loud.
No, I think, can't we go Tom free this time?
No way.
We'll do something with him around Christmas time.
No, he wants to be like Baby Jesus again.
Oh, I like that.
Baby Jesus was fabulous. That was one of my favorite. But then again, you know, out here he's going to be here all the time.
Just so sick of retards.
Oh, dear.
Should I leave?
We're all going to leave then.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're good.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Charlie Brown. I've got a football.
How about practicing a few place kicks? I'll hold the ball, and you come running and kick it.
Oh, brother. I don't mind your dishonesty half as much as I mind your opinion of me. You must think I'm stupid.
Oh, come on, Charlie Brown.
No, you just want me to come running up to kick that ball so you can pull it away and see me land flat on my back and kill myself.
This time you can trust me. See, here's a signed document testifying that I promise not to pull it away.
It is signed. It's a signed document. I guess if you have a signed document in your possession, you can't go wrong.
Don't believe her.
This year, I'm really going to kick that football.
Peculiar thing about this document, it was never notarized.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Charlie Brown. I was looking for that one.
That bitch!
It kind of worked. Never knew that Charlie Brown was a fetishist.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
My apologies.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I know you are.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Thinking about it.
I'll just be your secret lover.
I know you will.
We're going to take a shower, both of us. I like rape.
I know you do.
With happy hands and mumbling mouths, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
My apologies. I meant to play the tape after the Lucy thing, that bitch.
Yes. Right.
And instead the dog and toilet tape played.
Because, it kind of worked, though, didn't it?
Well, maybe you noticed over here. We've had, Shock, a small problem with the computer shutting down.
A slight glitch.
And Rob has a very delicate way of working out the problem. I don't know if you were even looking this way.
I wasn't, no.
I'm trying to press the button. He's got his big Herman Munster hands over here. Reset. Keyword. Set. Here comes the virus scan up again. Then the whole thing would crash again. I'm just trying
that
to...
bitch!
That's all I was looking
for. So you had a little problem with old Bratwurst fingers over there?
Got it. The driver network connection, that shortcut to Neo Screener Inc. refers to, is unavailable, Rob.
Is that what Bear's working on in the back room today?
No, he's working on something different.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You know what, for now?
Yep.
Let it go, boy.
Are you certain?
No, I would love to have you standing 1 inch from me playing with a computer while we're trying to do a show. It's not too distracting.
Well, you know, I enjoy it.
It's not too distracting for me to see all the separate menus come up in front of me now. Adobe Photoshop. I'm not the one that's pressing the buttons on this monitor.
You know, on a good hot day, he blocks the sun. So that's a good thing. That's a positive thing.
But not really, because I throw off a lot of heat.
Yeah, you do. A lot of heat. Well, if you've gone up a flight of stairs.
So here's what's new. Here's what's new. Yeah. Britney Spears. Some guy is alleging that he did coke off her stomach last night.
And that's supposed to be some sort of incredible revelation?
Mike, this gets to our whole thing. We were talking about yesterday the line between entertainment and news.
Right.
This is this story about the guy doing coke off Britney Spears' stomach while they're in a spa is tabloid fodder. The fact that Ryan Seacrest had her on his radio show for a minute is not earth-shattering, but the Today Show gave it an entire segment.
Sure. I think that's because it speaks to the whole motherhood deal where she was not even aware of when she had her kids. That's what all the news organizations, the legitimate news organizations, seem to be seizing upon.
So there's this guy named Scott Culler. Thank you for the name. He's 29. He says that Britney Spears asked him and 10 other guys to her mansion. Huh. And then she stripped down to her underwear. She said, let's get in the jacuzzi. Guy says he wants to do a line of coke on her chest. She says, okay. Guy says she seemed drunk. She did a couple of lines. But she passed her court-ordered drug test the next day.
Thank goodness.
And he says... This guy, Scott Kohler, she was in a great mood. She didn't have a care in the world.
Unfit me, y'all.
Okay. So that's the latest on her.
Uh-huh.
Then you got Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yes. Oh, boy, he's in a bit of trouble.
Ooh. Now, this is a guest who, for whatever reason, I mean, we've had a policy on this show. First, we took anybody that would come on as a guest.
Right.
And then we pulled it back a little bit. Added a little bit, pulled it back a little bit. This is a guy who, even when we were taking anybody as a guest, this guy was never thick enough to make it as a real guest.
Didn't want to have Dog the Bounty Hunter on the show.
Right.
No. But a lot of people know who this dude is.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people watch his show.
He's on the
and his lovely wife.
He's on the A&E channel.
For now.
Yeah, his lovely wife. For both.
She is a beast. They're both beasts. They both look the same, actually.
She is a female version of him, isn't she? Really?
She is absolutely a female version of him. But he's stepped in it, and he's doing the dance now that the white folks do when they step in it racially.
So, now, this is a phone call between the guy Dog, Dwayne Chapman, mm-hmm. and his son Tucker, who works for him in his bail bonds business. They're having an argument, and he tells his kid that he has to find a new job or dump his girlfriend, Monique.
He doesn't like his girlfriend.
Because she's black.
Right.
So here we go.
Good morning, 54 Shopping.
Oh, stop it. That's Holly Morris.
Baby pigs.
All right, this is Dog the Bounty Hunter on an answering machine.
I don't care if she's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Lisa was dating a we would all say you. And you know that. If Lisa brought a black guy home, yeah, da-da. And it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word we don't mean you scum without a soul. We don't mean that. But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur because our son goes with a girl like that. I can't do that, Tucker. You can't expect Gary, Bonnie, Cecily, all them young kids to because I'm in love for 7 months. I f*** that. So I'll help you get another job, but you cannot work here unless you break up with her and she's out of your life. I can't handle that. I got him in the parking lot trying to record us. I got that girl saying she's going to wear a recorder. I don't even know what to
say. All right, so that is so filled with contradictions, yeah. I can't even begin to start. I'm totally confused by that tape.
Here is his apology.
Oh, good.
My sincerest heartfelt apologies go out to every person I've offended for my regrettable use of very inappropriate language. I'm deeply disappointed in myself for speaking out in anger to my son and using such a hateful term in a private phone conversation.
Weird.
It was completely taken out of context. Well, you just heard it.
Mm-hmm. The thing about it, I don't know what... I mean, he's saying...
I was disappointed in his choice of a friend, not because of her race, but her character. However, I never should have used that term. I have the utmost respect and aloha for black people.
Throws in the little Hawaiian term there.
Black people who have already suffered so much. I did not mean to add another slap in the face to people who have brought so many gifts to this world. This is just so full of crap. I am ashamed of myself, pledged to do whatever I can do to repair this damage I've caused.
You did a bad thing.
In Hawaii, we have something called Ho'oponopono, where people come together to resolve crises and restore peace and balance. I am, here we go, the God card.
He's going to pull the God card?
He sure is.
Oh, that's right, he's got his advisor.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Yeah.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO?
Yeah.
Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
I am meeting with a spiritual advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Tim Story, and hope to meet with other black leaders so they can see who I really am and teach me the right thing to do to make things right again. I know my fans are disappointed in me. I would disagree. Most of your fans probably agree with you.
Yeah.
My fans are disappointed in me. I've tried to be a model for doing the right thing.
Uh-huh. He's certainly a model for the way to dress.
I hope you will forgive me.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
How'd that phone conversation get out anyway?
Well, what's weird about that phone conversation is that he's saying it's not because she's black. Is what he's saying to his kid that they use that word around the office, and his main concern is that that word gets out.
and that the girlfriend would hear it, be offended, and tell people.
Right, so there's no desire on his part to say, hey, my son's dating a black person. Maybe we ought to clean our act up.
No, he doesn't
none of
that.
He wants the comfort of his office where they all use that word.
Right. You've heard his apology. Listen again to the conversation.
Okay,
it's fun. It's fun to listen to this again.
I don't care if she's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over.
Right. Now, hold on. You got to. Here's the. Thank you. I've got the actual context.
The transcript.
Quote, I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some effing N-word heard us say N-word and turned us into the Enquirer.
Right.
So he's aware of the stigma of the word.
But he uses it in his work as a bounty
hunter. But he uses it in his work, and he doesn't want it. So as opposed to just saying, he knows it's on the line if that gets out. So as opposed to going to his people and saying, hey, you know, let's, you know, this could jeopardize, you know, even from a business standpoint, my career.
I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Lisa was dating a we would all say F you.
If she was dating an N-word, we'd all say F you.
Who is Lisa? His sister?
His daughter, I thought.
Daughter? His daughter.
Sounds like a guy who's throwing around the N-bomb an awful lot.
I mean, amazingly so.
And you know that. If Lisa brought a black guy home, and it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word we don't mean you scum without a soul. We don't mean that. But America would think we mean that.
But there's no explanation as to why he uses the word.
Says, we use the N-word.
Uh-huh.
America wouldn't understand this S. Black people wouldn't understand it, but we use the N-word.
I think he used it as an intimidation tool in his work. That doesn't justify it, but that's what he's trying to protect.
Oh, I
we're not
heard
taking
that,
a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur because our son goes with a girl like that. I can't do that, Tucker. You can't expect Gary, Bonnie, Cecily, all them young kids to because I'm in love for 7 months. I f***ed that. So I'll help you get another job, but you cannot work here unless you break up with her and she's out of your life. I can't handle that. I got him in the parking lot trying to record us. I got that girl saying she's going to wear a recorder.
I don't even know what to say.
Wow.
Is that your creation there that he uses an intimidation technique?
That's what I drew from the context of it, that he doesn't want to give up using the word because he uses it as an intimidation tool in his work.
See, when I hear him saying that, I'm hearing that they use this word like around the office and
I hear it the same way as you, Mike. I hear it like it's a word that we toss around.
Yeah,
and
we throw this word around. And
black people might be offended, but what they don't know is we don't mean anything by it, but why should we stop saying the word just break up with a girl.
Yeah, break up with a girl whether you're in love with her or not.
Right. So we can keep dropping the N-bomb all the time.
I mean, it's you know, there's just no way of and I think, Buzz, if that was the case, if he, you know, first of all, if he hears that, he'll probably latch on to it. Now, it's a pretty good excuse.
You should know this. The guy mentioned that he found God.
Like, let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it, Jesus.
Like everybody does when they get in trouble, they find God. This guy, Dog, his God guy is black.
His own pastor.
Now, this is a crazy twist.
Right.
This guy, the pastor, says, I'm shocked. This is not the Dwayne I know. The subject of his son's girlfriend came up, and in anger, he attacked their relationship. What shocked me was that he used the N-word. He cried for 30 minutes. The last thing he said to me was, can you believe I'm going to be in the same category as Imus.
God.
And the A&E Network has canceled the orders for new episodes of his show.
There's nothing in that message to his kid where he says anything about the fact that the you know this might be a good person or anything.
No.
He is saying break up with her because we want to be able to use the N-word. That's the reason he's giving to break up.
Right. We use the word around the shop. We wouldn't want her to get her feelings hurt by coming. So please break up with her. So when we're watching sports, we can say, that stupid N-word didn't score a touchdown.
That's what it is. I mean, there's nothing more to it than that. And I don't think he uses it. I mean, I don't think he uses it for intimidation. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way he's saying it's in their comfort zone, the people that he has in his office, to use that word that they throw that around liberally and they won't modify no matter what.
Are you going to see American Gangster? Oh, you mean that N-word movie?
That's exactly what it is.
See, darling, son, excuse me, son, I wouldn't be able to talk that way if you brought one of them into the shop. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I not to read more into it, it's you know, he's incriminating himself and doing a fine job of it. But really, this is not to pile on, but seriously, when you hear that tape, it sounds to me that the word is so important to the guy, that it is so important to using that word around the office or the way in doing his job, that he has to protect it. He comes out and he says, I know this would bring down my entire career.
This word is sacred to me.
It's what it sounds like.
She's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black.
That's it. I don't care if she's Mexican or a whore.
Yeah.
I got to be able to use the N-word, son.
That's what it is. And it's like it's important.
We use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years.
There it was right there.
Right there. Well, if you don't want to lose what you've worked for 30 years, then don't use that word.
Yeah. Listen, we use the N-word around here. I can't have you marrying one of them.
Because I won't be able to use my favorite word. I hate to say favorite word, but it sounds like
it does.
N-word this, N-word that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because some heard us say
I had to delete myself out.
I didn't say everything we've worked for.
I didn't say the N-word. I said
no,
the
you
F-word.
Said the F-word. Yes, you said the F-word.
Yes.
What he says.
And he says it, too, when
he
was on the tape.
Yeah, he says, I'm not. Well, hold on. Back it up. He says something about I'm not going to have an effing
N-word. N-word, right.
He used. I mean, listen how he uses it.
I'm not. For 30 years, because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, really, what? And rightly so. I mean, really. I mean, the guy's a jerk. I mean, you can just hear the way he says it. He knows that he knows. I mean, there's an admission right there, the power of the word. And you know when they're rolling cameras for his show, when they're producing his show, you know, he modifies his behavior for that. But obviously the word is so important to him.
Son, you know how much I love that word.
I can't do that. That would bring everything down. You got to break up with her and allow us to still use the word. And not him alone, but obviously
everybody in the shop.
Everybody
in the shop. How are we supposed to watch an NBA game? You take away the N-word.
Oh, God. It's so nice he found a spiritual advisor, though.
You take away our fun. Yeah. I got an N-word man of God.
God, amazing.
I expected a guy named Dog to be brighter.
We will be right at 1G, not 2 like right. Stoop, 1G. Right.
Dog.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line.
Rip torn.
You've been arrested for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of
alcohol. I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
No, I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you take this stuff.
What portion thereof?
I will not say anything until you take this.
Have you introduced this evidence again?
I will not say anything until you take this stuff.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drink. Okay? Go to hell, you guys. Take these cuffs off.
I act like a gentleman after I asked the company for nothing. Out.
Relax.
Get out.
Relax.
I'm going to send you all to jail. I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
This is what you do. Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city.
Uh-huh.
That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Dr. Weisman, no one has a deeper respect for psychiatry than I do. And I know that when we get to Larry, we're both on the same side, but...
I think there's certain guidelines we should observe.
Before you go any further, let me tell you that I can't discuss Larry's case.
Oh, what horse. The doctors are all the same.
Soon you'll have Larry recovering a false memory of an uncle who tried to touch his pet.
Right, like Tom Osborne.
It's the Fool and the Classy One, Don and Mike.
Here we are. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. I was just going to tell you that if you listen to the full version of that dog tape on NationalEnquirer.com,
All we got was just that the snippet we had,
the little
minute,
blurb,
the minute that we had.
If you check it out, it's on NationalEnquirer.com. It has a lot to do more with that girl. She's a train wreck, and she was already leaking stuff about the family to the press, and that's kind of why he wanted her out of their lives.
But hold on a second. What about the part about the N-bomb, which is what everybody really cares about?
That's a big deal. But I'm just saying, I think he was more upset about the crap she's already pulling. And, you know, but I agree. That was stupid for him to say.
Are you a fan of dogs?
I watched the show, but I mean.
There's nothing wrong with being a fan of the guy. I mean, I know a lot of people that watch the show.
We're not casting aspersions.
But right there in the little snippet we have, and granted, you can hear certain segments of the tape where it's, but that doesn't count as out of context because, it is one section of the tape. There's dog now.
You know, something tells me. Yeah, you don't know what show you could go behind the scenes on. I would imagine that word maybe has been said one or two times on OCC.
I was thinking that. Mm. I was thinking that the entire time I was watching. I really was.
And could you picture Paul Sr.
That
on
is
the phone?
That is as lily white an environment as you will get.
Hey, listen, Paulie Jr.
Right.
I don't care who you're dating. It's a word we use at OCC.
You know, I'd love to hear the whole tape. I would like to hear that. But in that tape, it's like, you break up with her because we use that word.
But even if there's the other part, that
doesn't matter.
That one part, yeah, right. That guy's screwed. Hello, yeah. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Who the hell is this?
Soundboard guy. It's the Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
How you doing?
Who are you, sir? R.P. McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in a terrible
Nicholson.
Quality.
All right, one more shot.
I'd appreciate if you would address me as Colonel or Sir. I believe I've earned it.
All right,
this is a hodgepodge.
It's fine,
of Jack Nicholson.
It's all Nicholson. Right, okay.
Absolutely.
How you doing, Jack?
No.
Are you going to be in that cancer movie?
No.
Yes, you are.
What's new, Jack?
Can I ask you a personal question?
New Jack City. Sure, go ahead.
What do they teach you to talk like this?
And we go to As Good As It Gets. Very good.
All right, very nice.
Are you going to talk to me or not?
Yeah, we're talking to you, for God's sakes.
Talking to you right now, Jack. We're just hearing all the movies you've done.
Did you have sex with her?
Yes, we did.
Lady Elaine.
Oh, it's that guy. Oh, you fooled us. You fooled us.
That's right.
Boy, I tell you, I do have to say one thing to you. I am hungry.
I come from hell. My grandmother's got more attitude than you.
I don't think you heard Mike. I agree. Yeah. We are both hungry.
Oh, thank you for telling me. I was just making some popcorn.
There it is. His signature.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Like I said, I hate retards. Hello. Hey,
just listening to the show, I actually wanted to call in about that whole dog tape thing. I don't condone what he said, but what I don't condone as well is this holier-than-thou attitude that a lot of us have. Because behind closed doors, when you're talking to your friends or family, you may, in the heat of anger, say something that you regret. Or say something that you might not say in public, or say when the cameras are rolling on.
Sure, but wouldn't you have to say that this guy was not acting like a guy who maybe once in a while, as we all do, maybe slip? Sounds like it's a pretty regular part of his repertoire.
Oh, I agree with that. And like I said, and I don't necessarily condone it,
I do condone it.
No, the holier than thou attitude, and you know what it is really, I'm hearing a guy saying break up with that girl because we want the freedom to use that word in the office, you know, and that just that's the part that I think that bothers me about the whole thing, and you know everybody makes mistakes, but certain mistakes I think are more apt to be forgiven by the American public than others, and this one. Just on the face value, what I'm hearing sounds like it might be a little tough to spin out of this one.
I mean, if I'm Imus, First, thank God I'm not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if I was, I must, I'd be pulling hair out of my nose and my ears and my balls, and I'd have my big, stupid cowboy hat, and I'd be going, why did I get fired?
Well, what's the deal with that?
I never said it.
But I think that Dog the Bounty Hunter and Don Imus just as craggy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Craggy men.
Hello, Don and Mike.
It's a pattern.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. What's happening?
Not much. I just drove from Lincoln, Nebraska to Omaha, Nebraska.
Sir?
You guys are on in Omaha.
Oh, my God. You mean the show could actually be heard in the city of Omaha?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. We're covering most of the state. Thank God for us.
You know what that is? As I said before, it's a lifelong dream come true.
I'm just so happy that I can make people happy just by my presence.
I can get hit by that bus today as soon as I step off the corner, and I'm a happy man, because even though I have a tire mark on my forehead, my obituary will say they just cleared Omaha, Nebraska.
And I'm going to go on a limb here, and you know, just I don't know the area that well, but I'm going to take a gamble. Let's say a big hello to all the farmers. Thank you.
Especially those in the Dell.
Farmer in the Dell.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And, of course, Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Farmer Brown. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello.
And that old guy, what's his name? Oh, God. It escapes me. McDonald.
He had a farm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking a way that Tom Gavin could actually participate in Thanksgiving is if you dressed him up like a turkey, because then he could be tarred and feathered.
Bye!
I'm going to try not to laugh at Tards.
Not
good.
Funny.
That was funny.
I like that.
That was not funny. Was don't hard. You stop laughing. That ain't funny.
Funny.
It wasn't bad.
Hey, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I know I'm with Dog's spiritual advisor here. I'm completely shocked that Dog, a convicted felon who spent time in jail for murder and broke international laws, would say such things.
Is he a convicted felon?
Don't know.
Oh, he's gone. Like the wind.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, Radio God.
Hey, buddy.
How are you? I just want to say my girlfriend sucks.
O-T-O-T-W. Yeah.
Also, I wanted to ask Mike.
Hello, O-T-O-T-W.
How are you doing?
On top of the world.
Top of the world,
hey,
babe.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike, would you have supported the Indians? I know you wouldn't have supported the Yankees, but would you have supported the Indians if they had gone ahead into the World Series?
I have to be honest. Let me be very, very honest with you.
Please.
I am a one-team person. I would have been a casual observer.
You probably
would. I wouldn't have given, you know, I didn't have anything really. I really wouldn't have cared either way that much. That's the difference.
If
you
it
know?
Was on past midnight, you probably wouldn't stay up.
Exactly.
Right?
And you know, there would be if I get, you know, so somebody's asked me out to dinner or something like that, there's something going on, probably wouldn't have watched all the World Series games.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm a bad fan.
No, you're a Boston Red Sox fan. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, have you guys watched that stupid ass program Phenomenon on NBC?
No, is that the Uri Geller thing?
Yeah. It is fake. They say it's real,
okay,
but it's
thanks.
Fake.
Thanks
what?
Thanks for the bulletin.
Incredible! Yeah, that's anybody that's a student of this show, remember when we pissed off Uri Geller double time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He got mad at us.
Said, bend it, boy.
All we wanted him to do was bend a spoon. That's all. He wanted to promote something, had a whole agenda coming in here, and we were like, bend that spoon.
Here's a spoon. Bend it right now.
Come on, and before we let you talk, you got to bend the spoon.
And he couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Right. But didn't we later speak to him, like, from London or something and make up with him?
I believe we did.
Long distance?
Yeah, I think we did.
I mean, we forgave him for not bending a spoon in our presence.
Yeah. If we ever get Chris Angel on the show, we'll treat him much better.
You talked to him again when he was supporting Michael Jackson, I think, right?
I think the last time we spoke to him was...
Another great move.
Mm-hmm. The last time we spoke to him, I think, is when he was trying to buy Elvis's house in Memphis.
The
one on Audubon Drive.
I did watch the Chris Angel show. I forgot what it's called. It's some magic show that he's got where he electrocuted himself. I found that highly entertaining.
Cool.
But it's also one of the things that falls into the category. It could have been total BS. You know, where they've got the electric going, and he's in this suit, and then he falls down. And you see the electrical charge go through his body, and they take him to the emergency room.
This is why it doesn't work, because it's not like NASCAR. When you watch magic or illusionists, let's face it, you watch NASCAR because, you know, no one wants to say this.
Right.
Everybody, not that you want to be there, but when the next Dale Sr. happens,
right,
you want to be there. And that's why you watch those guys drive at 200 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of the reason. When you're watching magicians, when they're doing something that seems to be life-threatening, if one time one of these magicians actually killed themselves, I'm telling you, then people would watch.
Get a little more credibility. And these shows, and I wish I knew the name of the Chris Angel show. I forgot what it's
called. Mind Freak with Chris Angel.
Don't you think, my long-winded point here is that you watch NASCAR because, well, you like racing.
Well, no, it's the element of reality and that somebody, if they go into a wall, something horrible could happen.
They might really die when you're watching.
They're legitimately, you know what it is? They're legitimately risking their lives.
And when you're watching these guys, these magicians.
David Blaine, Chris Angel. And on Mind Freak, here's the deal. This is where it waters it down for me. You've got the advance of the guy coming up. We've told him. We don't want him to do this. We really don't.
No.
You know, as they're sitting there, like his brother and his father, all the people that are making money off the guy's bit. And then, he sits there and he gets electrocuted. And you know nothing's going to happen.
Right. What if you got him to drive NASCAR against, David Copperfield and Doug Hammond?
Now I'm watching.
See, then I'm watching.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know what I think about the dog? I think the dog uses it.
The dog.
Mostly as, let's go get the ant. This ant is trying to take our money. Let's get him. Let's do it. Get that ant right now. Let's get him.
All right. Thank you, son. A demonstration. A reenactment, if you will.
Has dog ever used that word in his reality show?
I'm noticing Don made a terrible, I think, unfair comment about the viewers of dog's show earlier. And I think these people that have called that are understanding the dog and kind of trying to explain the dog's behavior are demonstrating, that they're highly evolved individuals.
Be a love and see if you can guess what song I'm guessing that used to be in that machine that I bet the dog the Bonnie Hunter fans would love.
I know what it is.
It still is the most requested song of the day.
Do you think Dog is perhaps rubbed shoulders with some of these musical artists?
I think there's
a chance?
Mike, as you know, every single day, high school kids.
Incredible!
From around America log on to Don and Mike website and they vote for their most popular song of the day.
This song endorsed by Dog.
No, it's not Miley Cyrus this week. I'm sorry. It's not Hannah Montana.
Not Hannah Montana.
No.
Here is your most requested song of the week.
What's up for America? What's up today? What's up for America? For it gets too late. What's up? Yeah.
White power.
Okay.
White power. White power.
Tonight on A&E.
Before it gets too late.
Tonight on A&E, we go to the Christmas party at Dog the Bounty Hunter's house.
I love it when you do the Jerry Todd version of that. It's
white power in America.
Do, do, do.
Before it gets too late.
Da, da, da.
White power.
The Goulet version.
It's nice to whistle, too.
Oh, Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay, my friend. What's happening with you?
Hey, I was watching the Price is Right yesterday for the first time since Drew Carey's been in, and he said the WN word. Did anybody catch that?
Oh, what not?
Yeah.
What not?
Yeah, it was great.
I bet Drew Carey is a liberal user of what not.
Britney Spears did not say what not in that clip on the Ryan Seacrest thing, but she does say you know an awful lot, doesn't she?
Yeah, especially when she's talking about her lawyers.
You know, we'll dive into that. And also, I'm glad we're talking about race today. At some point today, we're going to bring by a very angry black man as well.
Oh, very good. Looking forward to that.
But it's not this black man.
Hi, this is Robert the Mailman.
No.
I want to make sure that was not the sound of radios being turned off across America. Another angry black man. Huh. But first, something totally different.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Yeah, I can touch a Batman here.
I'll know more. After I've delved into the secret archives of the Antiquarian Library in Alexandria.
Alexandria? Oh, you mean a delightful suburb of Washington, D.C.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Let me tell you something. When you were giving us that news information there, oh, man, I loved it. Anyway, gotta run. Number one fan.
All right, well, thank you.
Hey, guys, number one fan, that was an awesome job that you did with the contest. I can't wait until you do another one. Gotta run, number one fan.
Again, we thank you.
Number one fan calling.
Hey, guys, number one fan, I just wanted to call in and say great job giving us the sports scores. Excellent, excellent job. Keep up the great work. Anyway, I gotta run, number one fan.
Number one fan.
It's a number one fan. Check it out.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Great job with the traffic. Excellent job telling us what's happening, you know, with what roads to take and all that stuff. Number one fan.
he's not coming around the weather, though.
Hey, guys, number one fan. Excellent job doing the forecast. Ah. Thank you so much for telling us what the temperature is and all that stuff. I got to run. Number one fan.
Thank you.
Just a big box of okay. The Don and Mike Show.
And you know there are radio stations that would really use those.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Sure.
Love it. Number one fan.
Number one fan. Real sincere.
All right, Batman.
But someone told me that both
the Joker.
Man. And Robin almost got eaten alive by a giant clam.
A giant clam, Aunt Harriet.
Yeah.
I know we've discussed this on the show before.
Yes.
The fact that when I was 11 years old, I had a letter printed in a Batman comic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I about 10 years ago, I had the comic, and then I lost it.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, I'm a bit of a Batman freak. And
are you wearing a Batman T-shirt today?
I am. Mm-hmm. I was looking on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, a couple of weeks ago, and some guy had put a link to someone selling this comic book on eBay that had my letter printed
right,
in the editor.
Right.
So I did a search on eBay and bought my own copy of it. Cool. And got a call a moment ago from my girlfriend who said that it arrived.
Yay. The new phone books are here.
And I would love to share this letter. I don't know exactly what it is that, I mean, we did this.
Are you going to be bringing it in for show and tell?
Yeah, I'll bring it in tomorrow so that we can actually photocopy it and put it on our webpage.
Right. Good. You don't remember the content of the letter.
It's very teenage boy, 1960s, stupid.
I was standing by the magazine rack when Senator Craig approached me.
Name and address withheld.
Call home. She called me.
That's in the Batman forum, right? That's what the letter is.
So cape and, it's cape and cowl comments, but actually
cape and cowl comments?
For your purposes, it would be cape and COC something purposes.
Yes, cape and C comments.
Hi, sweetie. Hello.
Hello.
You must be listening to your favorite radio station.
I am.
So, listen, during the break, Jan calls and says, great news, your eBay package arrived.
Right.
Your world's finest comic that has your letter to the editor is there. Would you please open it up and read the letter?
Okay. You sound a little mechanical.
What do you mean?
It's all right.
You sound like you have a mechanical voice. Is it okay?
Would you open up the comic and read it, please?
Oh, you know, it could be a problem on this end. We've had to reset our phones a couple of times today, sweetie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Cape and Cowl comments.
And I think the comic book is from November of 69.
Do you read it to the author of the comic book?
Dear editor. Uh-huh.
Dear editor.
Dear editor. Yeah.
Dear editor.
So what I wanted was to get this thing so I would actually have a copy of the letter.
Yeah.
And then, like, frame the copy, the front of the comic book, and then my stupid letter there. And I got it now. Anyway, go ahead. What's it say, sweetie?
It's Cape and Cowl comments. Uh-huh. And it says, Dear editor, World's Finest number 184 was terrific. I really liked the grown-up Robin. As we say it over here, he was gross. That really means big, but we use it like cool or tough. Those words sure describe the adult Robin. But I have a complaint. Look at Superman on page 8, panel 2. This is outrageous. He looks like he's starting to get bald. And it's signed Mike Source, Heidelberg, Germany.
Heidelberg, all the way from Germany. You think you got it published because it was from Germany?
I believe so. I had figured out, because, you know, we were stationed there. My dad was stationed there for a year. He was a government employee. And I had figured out by reading these comic books that the most exotic postmarks would get in.
All the way.
So I was tremendously excited.
At that early age, you were manipulating the system.
Oh, yeah. I was tremendously excited that I had sent the letter in and we had moved back to the States.
Right.
And I had totally flipped out, just turned it off that I had sent this letter. Mm-hmm. I was in the drugstore, bought the comic book, and went flipping bananas.
Sure.
Because I was like, oh, my God, it's me.
I'm
in the comic book.
One complaint, though. In page 84, panel 2.
I know.
I noticed that's not the Batman that I approve of.
It is the nerdiest. I'm 11 years old.
That's a big deal for an 11-year-old. That's like Ralphie getting his package from
Ovaltine.
From Ovaltine.
Right. But no, Mike, that's much better. That
be
was,
sure and drink your Ovaltine.
That was a mass marketing. I had my...
You had yours specifically.
My own letter.
Mike Source went out to the world being acknowledged for his... And really, and you know what? Here's where I'm going to give you your props on this.
Okay.
You really want to know what it is?
What?
Even back then, you weren't kissing anybody's ass.
Right.
It wasn't all gushy-gushy. It's like, hey, listen,
yeah,
what's the deal with Batman? Yeah. What are you doing here? You were the critic.
Keeping it real.
As I recall the letter, when I wrote it when I was 11,
uh-huh,
is outrageous all in capital letters?
The whole sentence, this is outrageous, is all in capital letters. Yeah.
Look at that.
So yeah. I was so mad that in some previous comic it looked like Superman was bald.
Uh-huh. And do you think it was the printing, or do you think it was the animation itself?
Who knows?
Yeah. How could you remember that?
It's outrageous, whatever it was.
All I know is at that point, I still had not discovered girls. I was still living in the world. Well,
that's a delightful answer me these questions three quality when you read the whole thing. Uh-huh. Can she read the first sentence again? Because that's got the most, answer me these questions three quality.
Jan, would you please read it all? And I'll bring it in tomorrow, and we'll put it up on the webpage.
Whole thing.
You want me to read the whole thing again?
Please, please, darling. Please.
Okay. Dear editor, World's Finest number 184 was terrific! Exclamation point. I really liked the grown-up Robin. As we say it over here, he was gross. That really means big, but we use it like cool or tough.
That's the Germany thing, right?
Yes.
One word sure described the adult Robin. But I have a complaint. Look at Superman on page 8, panel 2.
Uh-huh.
All caps, this is outrageous. He looks like he's starting to go bald. Now, the editor does respond.
Good, you get a response.
What did the editor write?
Gotta hear.
You may think it would be outrageous, but Luther would like nothing better since he claims Superman caused him to lose his hair.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
there you go.
Good answer.
Well, maybe it wasn't just Heidelberg. It was the content. You know, gave the editor something to work with.
No, it's totally answering these questions. I have a complaint.
You're 11 years old. You can be a little nerd at 11 years
That's
old.
Right. Anyway, thank God for eBay that we got that thing. Yeah. All right, sweetie, thank you for calling me. That was nice of you to call me and tell me that arrived today.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, sweetie. I'll see you later. Love you.
I love you, too.
All right, goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye.
So it's a wonderful accomplishment at that young age,
yeah.
And who doesn't like to see their writings published? I think it's fantastic. It's why my college buddies and I used to get together and write makeup letters to write to Penthouse Forum.
Tonight when I'm nailing her, I'm going to say, who got published? Who got published?
Yeah, technically, you're a published author.
Who got published?
This is outrageous.
Do you remember when Robin got the grown-up Robin episode or book?
Sure.
What was so great about it?
I love the fact that they were going through a series of imaginary tales.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Where it was like if Superman and Batman had kids.
Uh-huh.
And it was like
they had sex and had kids?
No, with chicks.
Okay.
So it was like there was a little miniature Superman, a little miniature Batman, and Mike is feigning that he's not paying attention now.
Shuffling papers.
I am paying attention. I am paying attention.
You are listening with rapt attention.
I am. It's Robin got pregnant. Well, Robin got somebody pregnant?
Listen, I don't want to discuss this with you, Mike.
Why?
Because you refuse to take it as seriously as the 11-year-old.
Well, Rob came up. Rob came up and gave you a very serious question,
right.
Seriously, a press conference question about.
I liked all of the imaginary stories. I liked they would always do like, what if Batman married Lois Lane? What if Batman and Superman had grown up kids? Mm-hmm. What if Robin was the grown up and Batman?
How
was
would
the
they do that? How was that done?
They would start it by saying, this is an imaginary story.
What if?
It was right around the time they
and then
really...
they'd have the panels with the imaginary story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that? Is that the one you wrote about?
I think I wrote about a real story.
Oh, a real story. All
not
right.
An imaginary story.
What about the grown-up Robin? Wasn't the grown-up Robin an imaginary
right?
story?
Yes.
So that's the thing you're commenting on positively.
I enjoyed imaginary stories.
It prompted you to write.
You know, that's the creative element, too,
mm-hmm.
because you're not just satisfied with the day-to-day drudgery of Batman himself. What you want to see is the evolution and how the show in the print would evolve and how the
what might happen.
Thing would, you know, go on.
Also, the grown-up Robin was the first one to feature a lot of nudity.
You know, I want to say something to you. You would probably cut off your left nut if you had anything printed in any magazine that meant anything to you.
I agree.
Have you ever had anything printed in a magazine? Have you ever had a letter printed?
No.
All right, then shut up, you.
See, that's why I had to cast out. That's why I had to really strike, because I'm jealous.
Are you ready? Are you ready for something that I heard?
Yes. What?
Okay. You know how I think years ago the comic book Creepshow was banned in the United States because of its content, and they brought it back now. They're bringing back Creepshow because the content is deemed to be more acceptable now. So for the comic book collectors, Creepshow will be available. I heard that the other day, and
I gotta go write a letter.
I actually paid attention to it.
I don't like Creepshow.
What's that?
I don't like Creepshow.
I would. That was the only one I did like.
I like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Flash, Green Lantern,
Archie.
Captain America. Archie's way down on the list. There's so many superheroes before Archie. Iron Man, Fantastic.
I loved Iron Man.
Classics Illustrated. Do you remember that one? I just thought of it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Like King Arthur.
Sometimes my parents would try to fool me and say, you can buy any comic you want. Uh-huh. And I'd go like, hey, this is a jip. This is like a comic of Tom Sawyer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I already read the stupid book.
I also got comics. I got Bible comics, too. From Helpful
Bible
Uncles.
Comics.
Yeah. Oh. Here, you'll love this. Look, he's parting the Red Sea.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I got Creepshow. Sorry.
The outcast.
Boy, I am the outsider when it comes to these discussions.
I'm a printed author. I'm in print. Hello.
Published author.
Published, thank
That's
you.
Right.
I'm a printed author.
I am a printed author.
I am a moron. And I'm wearing a Batman t-shirt today also. Uh-huh.
Can I see the Batman that you have?
Ooh, yeah, nice, huh?
That's a nice one. Nice. Yes, very, very nice looking t-shirt. Show, yeah.
Oh, I'm a conflicted man.
Not really. You know what you like.
You're not the only adult that loves comic books. Look at Patton Oswalt.
What is it that somebody said to me about the way that I dress? That it was that men, when they reach a certain age, realize that their lives will never be great again. And they go back and they dress and they just wear clothes from the happiest time of their life.
That's right. That happens.
And look at me. Every day I wear a Green Bay Packers sweatshirt or a T-shirt or socks or underpants or socks or Batman stuff every day. I mean, it's not a someday thing with me today.
Right.
I mean, someday with the wardrobe.
I understand.
It's every day.
It's now.
There's only one guy in this room, in this whole building, that dresses, even puts any real thought into what he wears, and that's
Buzz. Cocksmith, right.
Buzz, Buzz is kind of sloppy for himself today,
It's coordinated.
It's coordinated.
It's his Dane Cook look.
Yeah, he does the Dane Cook thing. You and I kind of wear logos and stuff like that.
My logo today is Borgata.
Hey, the Borgata with Batman. But a matching ensemble, though, the black and white.
Can I look like a bigger dick? I have one of those Las Vegas-like jogging suits on, right? From the Borgata? Right. I look like Philly.
No,
thank you.
No, you could be Jilly from Philly.
Jilly from Philly wearing the tracksuit.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. What you call it. You call it a tracksuit.
Right.
It's a tracksuit. That used to be the old name for it. And would you like to please publicly comment on my attire today?
Mike has a beautiful 07 World Series jacket on.
Nice. It just came today. It came as I was walking out the door.
Very nice.
And I was a small child running to the door. And I said, all right, it's here. And the DHL lady, as she was walking away, just gave me a little, she gets people excited about packages all the time.
What are you wearing? Yellow shirt.
James Eddie Bauer, right?
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was wondering when we can come out to some of the signings, the book signings.
Yes. When you're signing your copies of the comic book.
Signing my comic book. I had to pay like $4 for that comic book.
That's a pretty good deal, though.
Now, of course, they'll skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. Well, Donna.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Right.
Turn your radio down, please.
Hello.
Or do that.
Donna Mike, hello.
Don, it's Al, Al's Magic Shop.
Hey, it's Al.
Al from Al's Magic Shop.
Another one of the men.
Heard what you were saying about my boy, Chris Angel.
Another one of the men that raped me.
You're close to that place here, aren't you?
Al's Magic Shop?
Is it still around or is it long gone?
No, it's going out of business, Mike.
This is right in the area where Al's Magic Shop
used
to be.
Al's Magic Shop was on Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C.
Oh, downtown.
It's a Turkish bath now, boy.
Yes, sir. Come on down. How about a nice steam, boy?
Understand you got published in Cape and Cal Comments, boy.
Please, show it to me.
Why don't you drop that towel, boy? Come over and I'll read your letter to the editor, boy.
We'll play the magic balls game. Yes, yes. Which ball is hidden under the cup, boy?
So, boy, you're like Batman, boy. I hit a gummy bear. under one of my buttocks, boy.
Yes, check out my specialty cape and cowl and nothing else, boy.
Please,
please look at it.
Where's the boy from Germany?
Ah, it's Heidelberg Donnie. Please come into the back room. Please.
Please.
Do not panic.
Ah, the tingler.
The tingler.
My flesh tingler.
Please don't scream.
The tingler's loose in my pants. Please do not panic.
Please welcome to the back room of Al's Magic Shop. Don't scream, Heidelberg boy.
Please.
Please.
The three men who tormented me were Al from Al's Music Shop, Harv Moore from WPGC, and Tom Osborne from the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
A tribute to our fans, our newfound fans in Nebraska.
Please.
They bent me over a chair, boy.
Please.
Did you like that, boy?
Was it as good for you as it was for me, boy?
You got published, boy.
Well, I look forward to seeing that tomorrow.
Bring it in tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm sure at 11, 12 years old, that had to be an amazing experience.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
All right, boy.
Boy.
Angry black man, we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Shut up!
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, so here's the controversial tape of the idiot, the bounty hunter, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I don't care if she's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, so we've talked about that cat today.
It's the 9/11 of fun. The Don and Mike Show.
And you're upset, aren't you?
I'm torn and angry. I can't even begin to describe it.
May I first take this opportunity to say hello to all of you and your listeners. But I've got some issues, and I don't want any Dog the Bounty Hunter getting in the way. I want to talk about movies. Don't you understand? That's what I'm here to talk about, movies. This is the angry Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, you have a movie that's out now we've not promoted. We've not done a bit with you about that movie. What's your movie? What's that thing?
I've got Feast of Love and Gone Baby Gone. Don't you understand? I've got these movies out right now. Don't you understand? There are two movies, but everybody's paying attention to Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Washington. I'm a better actor, and I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the way I'm being treated. Don't you understand that? But I always like to relax with a fine wine and take my time. I always knew Andy Dufresne was a good boy. Just by the way he walked, he was a fine, fine man. I don't want to hear that music anymore. Don't you understand? I'm angry.
Oh,
all people want to talk about is American Gangster. I don't want to talk about American Gangster. I want to talk about my movies and my body of work. I'm a fine actor. Don't you know I go back to all the great movies you've ever seen? I was in Attica.
What's the one now? The Ice School Baby? What's that thing? The
Feast of Love.
No, not the cancer one with Jack Nicholson.
The bucket list. I'm trying to think. My God, I don't even know my own movie.
We just said that.
How angry would you be if you didn't know your own movie was out? You know why?
Why?
Because the Feast of Promotion's all being directed for Denzel. Denzel and that Australian guy that beats people up. It's not fair, damn it.
Russell Crowe, you mean.
God damn it. Russell Crowe, yeah. Mention his name from the highest mountaintop. Oh, the Gladiator. Forget the fact that I was in The Shawshank Redemption, one of the greatest movies. And what about Along Came a Spider?
Mm-hmm.
What about Along Came a Spider?
How about your pimples?
My pimples, they're not pimples. These are skin tags that I have. And now you've upset me, and I don't even know if I can continue. I'm very frustrated. Nobody remembers my beautiful work in Evan and Bruce Almighty.
Why are
I played the Lord God.
Morgan Freeman.
I played the Lord God.
Yes. Why are you carrying a baseball bat?
I'm carrying a baseball bat, I'll tell you right now. I'm carrying this baseball bat because I'm going to break up the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to break up the room and just restore order in this studio.
Don't do that.
Just like I did when I played Joe Brown in Stand By Me. That's the character I'm going to stay in forever. Don't you understand that? Now get back into your classrooms. Very frustrating.
What are you doing?
Now, fine. After I tip over that, I like to have a nice glass of wine. And I always knew he was a fine, fine man. I don't want to take anything away from Denzel.
But somebody please do a goddamn search to find out what's the
Russell Crowe?
The Bucket List.
No, the one that's out right now, today.
Gone, Baby, Gone.
That's it.
Gone, Baby, Gone. I play Jack Doyle.
Oh, you remember now.
I'm a talent. I said it before. You know why you didn't hear it? You didn't hear it because your goddamn mind didn't want to hear it. Your mind was so twisted round with Denzel and Dog the Bounty Hunter and his bastard words that he said out there. You don't want to hear what I have to say.
I just thought it was called American Gangster.
American Gangster. There you go. Promote it again from the highest mountain top. You lily white fat boy. That's what you are, lily white fat boy.
Stop
with
it.
Your crew cutting your oversized shirts. They're not fooling me. Now get back in your classroom. Damn it. I'm angry. I'm upset. I need to relax. I'm an old man. And I've been told that due to my advanced age, I might not have that much time.
Time.
Not much time left on this earth. So this is my narrator voice.
This is kind of like the voice you used in that movie that was the kind of the ripoff of Armageddon.
Armageddon? Are you... You got me by surprise.
No, you weren't in Armageddon.
Are you talking about Deep Impact?
Yes.
That's a lie. That's a lie, Don Geronimo.
You
I'm
going to
look you
movie.
Square in the eye. I'm going to look you square in the eye and tell you that is not a ripoff of Armageddon. Deep Impact was its own movie with its own script.
How do you shave?
I shave carefully. I shave carefully.
With
because if
bumps?
I don't, most of the time I don't. If the bumps on my face get in the way, I could cause some severe bleeding. But I'd like to tell each and every one of you, you're wrong if you're thinking American Gangster's not going to be as good a movie as my fine piece of effort, Feast of Love. Because I'm a lover, not a fighter.
What is Feast of Love?
Feast of Love is a movie. Mm-hmm. It's a movie starring Morgan Freeman. What else do you need to know? Why do you persecute me and why are you persecuting me now? All you ought to be talking about is what a fine performance I'm doing, mister. There you go. How do you like that when I straighten out your studio by turning over your soda machine? How about I break a couple of windows in here? That'll get you talking about Morgan Freeman, and we'll forget about Denzel then. What was
You know what movie really sucked? The movie Glory sucked.
Glory did not suck, and that was... And who did I star in with Glory? That was Denzel Washington. That's right. Oh, I busted a spring. I think I seem to have busted a spring in your chair. I'm angry. I'd like the world to know there's more than one actor out there that should be getting noticed. It should be Morgan Freeman and not Denzel Washington. Do you know how they should determine the popularity of actors?
How?
From the amount of time that they've been in the movies. The amount of time. That's what it should be. You understand what I'm saying to you? Look at me in the eye. I'm talking to you and I'm telling you one time.
Pretend I'm Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty. How you doing, Nurse Betty? Good to see you. That Renee Zellweger, fine, fine piece of ass. I tell you, no finer. She's kooky, though. Squirrely. Squirrely, absolutely out of her mind. Losing her mind. Running off and dating all them country singers.
You know what I heard she's doing this weekend?
What's that?
She's going to see American Gangster.
All right, now you're trying to tweak me, and I'll tell you something. It's going to work. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. It's not a legitimate thing what you're doing to me right now. You're persecuting Morgan Freeman.
How's your authentic Cajun restaurant going?
My authentic Cajun restaurant? Oh, the name escapes me now.
I bet Rob...
We have a wonderful wine list. If you're going to say my goddamn authentic Cajun restaurant, for God's sakes, get the name right.
I think it's called Denzel.
It doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? It's not called Denzel's.
No?
Boy, I tell you, boy, you are barking up the wrong tree. If you're going to tangle with me, you're tangling with the wrong guy. Do I make myself clear?
Yeah.
That's why I brought in my Joe Brown baseball bat to break up this studio. I want you all to line up shoulder to shoulder, stand at attention, look me in the eye, and say, Morgan Freeman's number one. Repeat after me.
Morgan Freeman's number one.
They're not all doing it. I said I want you shoulder to shoulder, boy, or I'm going to be, there'll be hell to pay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Now repeat after me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Everybody, silence. My name is. And state your name.
Stay your name.
No, that's not. You're doing an old Animal House joke, for the love of God. I will try this one again. Right, shoulder to shoulder. Repeat after me.
All right.
I love Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Denzel Washington.
Now you're being a troublemaker. I'm going to send you to detention. There you go. What did I just break? I just broke a piece of Tupperware. Oh, dear. Now I'm knocking everything around your studio. And who is this man on the wall? Who am I staring at? He's not even a movie actor.
That is our friend Robert Adams.
Robert Adams. Well, take it down. Take it down. It's not authorized.
I thought you'd be happy we have a picture of a black man in
our studio. I did not authorize that movie. It's a movie poster of me. That's all I'm allowing up in here right now. Don't you remember my great rookie, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? That's right. Nobody remembers Kevin Costner with his crappy British accent. You know what they remember?
What?
They remember my role. I was fantastic in that. But do you think I get the credit? No, it's Denzel this, Denzel that. Well, I've had it. I'm out of time. I've only got a few more movies in me. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Just a few more movies in me. Now you're calming me down. Ah, yes. I remember there was a long time ago when I got into this business. People said due to the skin tags I had on my cheeks, I didn't have a chance. But I proved more wrong. And now I walk the red carpet with the finest actors in the business.
May I give you a compliment, sir?
Yes, I'll take a compliment because my sensibilities have been very offended today.
I will tell you, I believe your greatest role ever was when you portrayed Malcolm X.
That was not me, and I know exactly by that smile in your eyes and that demeanor you have with your stoop shoulders, you're trying to get me riled, boy, and I'm going to tell you it ain't going to work.
All right, then I take it back. Your greatest film ever, no BS, Training Day.
Training Day. I saw that one coming a mile away, and I'm not going to tolerate it. Why don't you talk about the great body of work? I'd like you to name four of my movies right now off the top of your head. Go ahead.
Nurse Betty,
I was fine in that. She was fine.
The Armageddon movie.
No, Deep Impact. By God, you're going to get me up. I'm going to get apoplectic.
The cancer movie.
The cancer movie?
The cancer movie.
Bucket list, and I have one.
What?
Driving Miss Daisy.
Driving Miss Daisy. Mm-hmm. I'm taking you to the Piggly Wiggly, Miss Daisy. Yeah, it was a fine work.
How come everyone went ballistic on her ass?
I didn't go ballistic on her because we got Academy Award nominations. That's the name of the game. But who got an Academy Award nomination? That fat-ass Dan Aykroyd.
You know who would have been great in that role?
Denzel Washington. Well, I'll tell you, I've had it right now.
No.
Are you going to say Russell Crowe?
No.
You're going to say Russell Crowe?
No.
Or you're going to say Denzel Washington?
No, I'm not.
Jamie Foxx is outstanding.
Oh, Jamie Foxx. Yes, all right. Well, maybe I can go out and learn how to do a Ray Charles impression, and I can get myself a nomination. That's what I'll try to do. You know what you're looking at, boy?
What?
Look me in the eye, both of you. You know what you're looking at right here? You're looking at an American original. Morgan Freeman is an American original. I don't have to do parroting and mimicking to get myself into the Academy.
Parroting?
Parroting. That's all that guy did. Jamie Foxx, all he did was parrot. He parroted Ray Charles. That's all he did. Parroted. That's what he did. He didn't. He mimicked him. That's as bad as being a mime.
I love you in Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire? I never was in Jerry Maguire.
Sure you were. You were the guy who said, show me the money.
That's Cuba Gooding Jr. And all he's doing right now is doing silly Disney movies. That career's gone. Well, I'm going to bust my spring. That's right. I thought I'd break this glass. Hope it was water from crystal. How do you like that? Yeah, shards of glass all over the floor. I'm so mad right now. I don't know what I'm going to do there. Oh, Baba. Baby to Baba. Baba.
Calm down, Morgan.
I believe it was one of my co-stars, Tim Robbins, who looked me in the eye one time, said, Morgan, don't stress out. You know how you don't stress out? I said, how, Tim? And he brought a big fatty between his thumb and forefingers and lit it. He said, you try the leaf. Once you try the leaf, you'll never be stressed out again. But I quit the list. I quit the leaf in 2005. I'm not on the leaf anymore. That's why I'm so stressed out right now. I've only got a certain amount of time to make my way.
All right, everybody, please watch Morgan Freeman in whatever movie he's in.
Yeah, I'm in a bunch of them right now. Yes, in production right now, we've got The Full Measure, The Last Full Measure, The Human Factor, The Lonely Maiden, The Dark Knight, The Code, Wanted, The Bucket Lists, and also Feast of Love. Go see all my movies. God damn it, I'm talking to you.
I loved it when you were on that TV show and you said, Dynamite.
Are you comparing me? Now, hold on a second. Now, we're in serious territory. Are you for one solitary moment comparing me to Jimmy J.J. Walker?
Yes, sir.
That type of thing is going to get you shot, boy. I'm going to take some of the guns I've used in my movies that I've done with Ashley Judd.
Calm down, please.
I'll calm down when you calm down. Very, very frustrating. But I'd like to thank every one of you and all of your listeners for taking the time to go to my movies. I hope they go to all my movies continuously. and remember me for my great body of work. And when you reflect on the careers of both men, you will say, I'm sure, like all of your listeners, Morgan Freeman was a far better actor than Denzel Washington could ever hope to be.
Here's a gift from the Don and Mike Show to you. It's a bottle of spot remover.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm not sure what you want me to do with it.
Put it on your face.
Ah, there you go. It's a face joke. I got skin tags. I can't help them. I'm just like your former general manager. Do you remember him, Ken Stevens? He had them all over his cheeks, too.
I do.
Didn't prevent me from getting roles. I just had a little bit less of a close-up.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Damn the news. All right, go ahead and defend Dog the Bounty Hunter. Spend the rest of your hours doing that, that's for sure. He's a racist.
Hey, Buzz.
Right.
How are you anyway, Buzz?
I'm okay. How are you?
Who do you prefer, my friend?
Who do I prefer?
Yes, I'm asking you, Buzz Burbank.
Will you, sir?
Do you prefer Denzel Washington over Morgan Freeman because right now he's having a movie that's getting all of the attention?
You, sir, absolutely. I loved you in Black
you,
Snake
You, sir,
Moon.
Who? Who would I be?
Morgan Freeman.
It's all about the name, boy.
Morgan Freeman.
Get my name out to the public.
Yeah.
Let everyone know that I'm a-coming. I'm a-coming.
I loved you in Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans. That's it! I'm leaving. I'm never coming back. You'll never see me again, and I'll step on this light bulb as I'm walking out of your studio door.
We got to get some better goddamn sound.
Thanks so much for having me by. Look at that. I turned over your computer system.
Expensive
That's
equipment.
Right. See you later. Shut the door.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Morgan Freeman.
I love Angry Morgan.
Never heard him that angry.
That's the Joe Brown Morgan.
Not sure. Joe Brown goes back a few years.
Buzz.
Yes.
Hey, Curly.
Hi.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
What about weed? You gonna be any weed?
They poke the bear. Don and Mike.
Don't forget, our website's open all the time, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Uh-huh.
On the front page, you will see information about joining our Homovember Spectacular.
Should be the best Thanksgiving show we've ever done.
The gayest Thanksgiving ever. Also, the website, we're trying to make it a little easier for you to navigate your way around it. If you go to the section that says Photo Gallery, you'll see a bunch of pictures. One of our listeners went down to New Orleans and took pictures of Super Dave working in the restaurant.
Any pictures of him touching the food?
He looks like one of those witches with a big bowl and a stick.
Ah.
You know, the boiled toilet.
Oh, wonderful,
trouble.
Yes. Making the gumbo.
You've never seen a bigger pot.
Oh, can't wait to see him.
All of that on our website.
It's a cool. Good fun.
Along with, we have some Britney Spears stuff. Now, are you going to talk about Britney Spears
Not
at all?
Not today.
All right, good. Good. Thank you, Buzz.
Sure.
Then we can simply listen to the one-minute clip that got played on all the news shows today is real news.
The one where she's completely out of it.
Right.
Not completely out of it. I mean, that's not fair, but she's not really interested.
Where she calls up the hottest ball shock jock Ryan Seacrest show.
Right.
Let's just count the number of times that she says, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brittany.
Good morning, Brittany. Sorry to wake you up.
It's okay.
How much does that overwhelming coverage actually get to you and bother you?
Oh, the coverage of it? I try not to let it get to me. You know, people talk and they say what they want at the end of the day, you know, the tabloids and, you know, the magazines. And you just try to keep doing what you do. And, like, you know, as long as you know what's up and you know it's true, that's, you know, all that really matters, you know. It's sad, you know, how cruel our world can be, but at the end of the day, like I said, you know, you just got to know in your heart that, you know, you're doing the best that you can, and, you know, that's basically it.
And do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids?
What?
Do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids?
Oh, God, yeah.
And how often will you see them?
That's like all in the court, like stuff like that. My lawyers know all that stuff.
Yeah, all right, so there you go. I didn't count
girl.
I didn't count the you-knows, but you know what I do enjoy? that thing that top 40 stations do. If you're going to talk to somebody,
yeah,
you can't just talk. You've got to have the
music. Yes, because otherwise it won't hold our interest. Have the music track underneath the whole thing.
I counted 14, you know.
14, you know, is in less than a minute.
Less right? than a minute.
That's how we do radio now.
Super, yes, yes. Keep them stimulated.
How we do radio when we talk about eating food?
See, the hottest woman as far as the tabloids are concerned. How do we hold people's interest? Yeah, keep a music bed underneath it. Yeah. I think she's smarter than she comes across in the tabloids.
Almost have to be. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna.
How are you anyway?
I am well, thank you.
Hi there.
Former world champion tennis player Martina Hingis.
Hingis?
Says she's being wrongly accused of using cocaine, so she's retiring from tennis. The 27-year-old says an outsourced testing company has accused her of doing coke during Wimbledon.
Hey, baby, she was really wearing her tennis whites.
Woo! But she says another drug test came back negative. Inga says she could never play tennis under the influence of any drug. And at 27, she says she'd rather quit than fight.
Ingus. Anything to get to the net faster.
Ingus.
Ingus.
Hey, that one was on the line.
Hey, Martina Ingus.
She says she'd rather not fight what she calls the doping machinery. Also today, nearly a 500,000 cases of Geno's Pizza being recalled by General Mills.
Leave.
The general says the pepperoni might be seasoned with E. coli bacteria.
Hey, this pepperoni, she tasted so good. I wonder if Otis did a poop on it.
Otis up in heaven.
It's a no good, the pepperoni.
It's no good.
What's the matter, Gino?
By all accounts, TV is going to start to suck more than usual and sooner than most of us expected. The talks between the writers and producers broke off last night, with both sides still far apart on how to split the profits from the writers' work that appears on DVD, the internet, and other new mediums, including cell phones.
Are they not going to, like, continue to work at least for a short period of time? They're officially on strike already, aren't they?
They are, and in fact, because they have no contract, the union has told its people to take home their personal effects from work when they clock out today. Now, most of the shows most affected, as we mentioned before, are Leno and Letterman, The Daily Show, The Colbert Report.
They'll
all go into rerun mode.
Welcome to our show.
Who wrote
Suck
the news
on that, losers.
Who wrote the news for you today, Buzz? What scab?
I wrote it myself.
Now, this wouldn't have happened in the day of Sally Rogers.
No.
No.
They wouldn't have gone on strike. Alan Brady wouldn't have allowed it.
Now, you were asking about Letterman.
Buddy Sorrell.
Buddy Sorrell would have stayed there, and Mel Cooley would have made sure it happened.
Rob Cooley might have crossed the picket line.
Yeah, Rob would have crossed the picket line.
I don't know.
Petrie's no scab.
That's
scab.
Right. That's right. You asked about Letterman yesterday. During the strike in 1988, rather, Letterman honored the picket line at first, but then returned to work after the strike dragged on for 5 months. So he did eventually cross the picket line, but he waited several months first.
See, there's a different management now at CBS. I just have a feeling that if he stays off the air for a couple of weeks during sweeps, mm-hmm. that someone with big white teeth and a very hot, robotic, uh-huh. Japanese, Chinese, Asian wife mm-hmm. might call him up and say, "Get your gap tooth ass in there and sit down and make funny, boy."
Mm-hmm. I really think it'll be resolved quickly because I don't think it's like CBS to drag any kind of negotiation on.
By the way, in 1988, when
are you speaking from personal experience?
My own personal experience would say things happen rapidly in this company. They make a decision, they stick with it, and they get it done.
That's mm-hmm. what I find, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Things move quickly.
Of course, we work in the radio division, and we're the best part of the CBS empire.
That's right. Why they call it the rapid radio division.
The best part of the CBS jewel.
Right. Things don't move slowly.
I can't imagine that they're going to let him take time off, because I was reading something in the trades today. Moonves, the president of CBS, was making some speech today about the state of the company.
Right.
And, you know, I don't understand how TV works as compared to radio. Mm-hmm. I know that they've got CSI, which has been the number one show on TV for years.
Yes.
And in my humble opinion, CBS, the TV network, mm-hmm. they've never done dick to promote this show.
Right.
They almost like go out of their way. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the number one show. But, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Really, watch The Big Bang Theory. That's the show we want you to watch.
Right.
So it's number one, and they kind of ignore it. Well, now it's taken a bit of a hit this year. It's slipping a little bit because they got competition from The Office. Competition from Grey's Anatomy.
The Bionic Woman.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader? These are the shows that are eating into it.
Sure. Right.
Part of what he was going to say today when Les Moonves spoke about the state of the company was how concerned he was with the ratings on CSI.
Really?
Yeah. Like, out of all the things that you're going to, you understand the point?
Like,
that
that's getting tired, and that's got legs. I mean, that show's got definite legs.
Out of all the things that you want to blame a slump in the company on, mm-hmm. or earnings being off, or revenues being off,
right.
one of the first things he's going to say is, well, CSI is off.
And I've told him every single time, if there's any ratings dip anywhere in the country, always blame it on Harry Smith. He's an easy mark.
Uh-huh.
He truly is.
Anyway, I don't know. I feel bad for the, well, I don't feel bad for them. They're overpaid actors, and they don't really have to do anything except read words that other people have written for them. But,
exactly.
But still.
That's why we need the writers. Right.
Still, you know, that's a pretty popular show. I would venture to say that if CBS's earnings are off this quarter or any quarter, it's really probably not because CSI has lost a ratings point.
You know how you get around the writer's strike, though, and this is brilliant. I haven't even submitted this to the executives. You know they're going to bring reality shows in, so
lots
here you
them.
Go. You have a reality show about TV writers.
Oh, that'd be good.
Huh? There it is.
All I know is that if NCIS is on,
oh, God,
I'm there.
That's right. The one. Talk about a guaranteed blow-by.
How about a funny show that doesn't require writing, like a Jim Nance improv show?
Yes, Jim Nance's improv group.
Hey, guys, over the line.
I'll do it to help you, Les.
I will. How about this? Give me a relationship and an object.
All we need is a live audience and some costuming.
Our founding fathers thought it would be...
So, Buzz, hold on a second.
Yes.
To get back to the writer's
Certainly,
strike.
Certainly, yes.
To get back to the writer's strike.
Uh-huh.
When, what is your expert opinion that something would happen on the Letterman show?
I think, does he normally does a fresh show on Friday night. They probably taped it earlier this week.
It's very important to know.
So I'm going to say Monday.
Today is the day that TV starts their rating sweeps.
And in his monologue last night, he made reference to it, or at his desk piece. I'm not sure. He was talking about the writer's strike. So
really?
He is aware of it. He mentioned it on the show last night.
What about Leno? Same thing with him?
Yeah, same thing with him. Except I don't know. I don't think Leno tapes ahead. His show may be a rerun tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You may see it that early.
What did I read about Leno today? That if there's a show next week, he's changing his entire schedule around the time that they tape the show to accommodate Garth Brooks. So that Garth Brooks can not only tape The Tonight Show, but also be in Kansas City later that night for a concert. And apparently Jay Leno has some sort of weird man-on-man relationship with Garth Brooks where, like, he's loyal to Garth Brooks and Garth Brooks is loyal to him.
Was he one of the first guys to sign Jay Leno's CD?
It was.
Which I always love when he does, hey, when you sign this for me.
He has premiered his CD on The Tonight Show every time since Jay Leno's hosted. This is the first time The Tonight Show.
But it's Garth Brooks.
I know. It's the first time The Tonight Show has shifted their schedule in 28 years.
Wow.
For Garth Brooks.
Garth
Brooks.
Chris Gaines.
Oh, that's right.
Well worth it.
And by the way, the last time Letterman honored that picket line in 1988, you remember he was on at a later hour and at a different network. He was still at NBC.
He didn't even give any hint of it last night when I was watching his monologue. Seems to be that he's going to go full speed ahead and still do the show. You know,
I don't
he
think
did
so.
It before. You think he's going to walk
while,
out?
For a
first.
While, he will be simpatico with them.
Yeah.
I saw something on the show, I guess it was Monday night. They were doing some pre-recorded bit, and they cut to a writer right as the bit was about to end, and he said, "Hi, I'm Joe Dick. I'm the head writer of the Late Show. We're about to go on strike, so we're holding back the punchline to this bit. Now, back to you, Dave."
That's what they did last night, because he mentioned the writer's strike, and then they gave the all the punchlines, the 10 top punchlines, and four of them were Donald Trump's hair.
How does it affect it that he's also a writer? Isn't he listed as a writer on his own show?
Yeah, it's something with the union. He may not be a member of the Writers Guild of America, and as the host of the show, you know, I think he gets by it in that way.
I think it would be interesting, but also quite revealing if you put those guys out there. I think Letterman's incredibly talented and funny. I think we're all agreed.
Mm-hmm.
But getting him out there without all the pre-produced stuff, if it was just Letterman and guests, I'd watch it.
He'd do all right.
Hell, I'd watch it. I think it would be a lot of times I'd rather hear about him, the problems he's having raising a child,
going to the store,
how
whatever.
People piss him off. I'd rather hear that than another one of the great moments in presidential speeches.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to do about, you know, no newspapers every morning and not being able to buy a new book for Christmas time.
No, those writers are not going on strike, just the TV and movie writers.
Oh, never mind.
Different writers.
Oh, all right.
Speaking of writing, our founding fathers thought it would be a good idea.
Thank God Seinfeld's wife got her book out. I think fathers thought it'd be a good idea to have a system of checks and balances in our government. That's why we have the three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. But the legislative branch just irritates the dickens out of President Bush. It gets in his way. So he's found yet another way to go around Congress.
Great.
King George has for some time used what's known as a signing statement to put his own spin on the carefully worded bills that pass Congress.
Gracias.
Sometimes the Bush spin cancels out the lawmaker's work entirely.
Buenos dias.
Now the White House says the president will start using executive orders to make his own laws.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
White House sources tell the Washington Post the administration will implement as much new policy as it can this way.
Quote, Buenos dias.
After concluding that President Bush cannot do much business with the Democratic leadership, end quote.
What Good morning, 54 shot.
What could possibly go wrong?
There's too much holly on that board.
Su dia ya viene llegando.
I love that one.
But we still have Holly Morris milking a pig.
Good morning, 54 shopping days until Christmas. Mm. Yikes.
That gives me 53.
It's right.
Actually, on this tape, she's not milking a pig, is she?
No, unless she's unless you're talking about the Anchorman.
Get one gift, though, probably for your wife.
Feeding milk to a pig.
Now I'm watching.
She feeds the pig.
That are joining us here this morning. Now, come on.
And you know what's great about those guys? They're so controlled that if that did happen, he'd just say, thank you, Holly.
The quarterback for the Detroit Lions is apologizing for his Halloween costume. That's our story when we continue.
Oh, good tease.
And you know what? And what's odd about that is the guy that did this, he's a super Jesus freak.
Really?
I mean, this guy, John Kitna for the Lions.
I'm like everybody listening right now. I don't know what it is.
Wait till you hear.
Okay, well, goddamn.
I know.
Well, that's why we tease commercials.
It's a tease.
All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let's see how things work from Planet Crackpot. Yeah.
There's a vulgar element involved.
Yeah.
With the Don and Mike Show.
What about the vagina?
Ah, vulgar. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi. What?
Hi.
Huh? Hi. Hi. Detroit Lions. Lions quarterback John Kitna. Someone's at the door.
Wow.
Not really.
Noisy in here.
Lions quarterback John Kitna has apologized to defensive line coach Joe Cullen for designing and wearing a Halloween costume that made fun of the coach. You see, Coach Cullen was arrested a little over a year ago for getting drunk and pulling up to a Wendy's drive-thru while he was stark naked. Cullen's had a couple of alcohol-related run-ins with the law, but this was by far the most interesting. It was also the most embarrassing moment ever for the Detroit Lions.
No, I don't think so. I think last year their performance on the field was the most.
I forgot about that.
So this guy Kitna, before you continue with the story, you should know he is not one of these low-profile Jesus guys.
Right.
He's the guy, when he goes out on the field before the game, he's got a cross on his hat.
Really, way out front.
And he's got the cross that he wears under his jersey. And he's one of these dudes that's always, you know, I want to thank Jesus first for making everything happen for me.
People really let their hair down at Halloween, don't they?
Really, really great by John Kitna. The outfit that he wore was a T-shirt / slacks combination. Painted on was the physique of a naked man.
Man boobs and all.
With man boobs. And he had a little, like, jock strap. Mm-hmm. Over the area where the painted-on genitals were, and his wife was dressed as a Wendy's drive-thru operator.
Wendy, with the wig, the red wig with the pigtail. Yeah.
And she had the headset on, and she had the Wendy's visor on.
Right. So even good, solid Christians like to have a little fun.
Sure. A lot of people were in Detroit. Oh, a huge controversy. People were appalled at what Kitna did, but not Coach Cullen. He says he's not upset at all. It's Halloween.
Absolutely. That's the right attitude.
I really think it's great. I saw this on PTI last night, and I laughed because you have to know, like I said, this guy, John Kitna, man, I mean, he's a...
Let's get our Christ on.
He's one of those guys.
Right, and he still did it.
Do you think when the coach issued his statement, it sounded more like, it's okay, it's Halloween.
I'm too hungover to deal with that now.
This is John Kitna.
And here's the difference between winning and losing. if the Lions were 2-5,
yes,
if he had the balls to do this, then they would hold him up and they would say, "You freak, get out of town." But because they're 5-2,
yeah, they're going to give him a free pass.
Everyone's like, "Oh yeah, that's fine."
Don't want him to play that way.
Football was never like this, but it is now. A new survey of former high school football players, guys between 18 and 23, who did not go on to play in college, shows that 1/3 of them have had some kind of sexual contact with another guy.
Michael Soares.
Oh, wow.
Hi there. It was my brother.
Homovember.
1 in 3, pardon the pun.
And what excitement we have today.
Former players were surveyed in various parts of the U.S. Most identified themselves as straight and said they felt ashamed or angry about what happened in their youth.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
The researcher behind the survey, again, no pun intended, says he now believes this might be true of all young men in that age group, not just football players.
I like rape.
The sociologist says it's not so taboo anymore, and he says today's young man knows that having gay sex does not automatically make him gay.
Tony Dungy, your team today completed the largest comeback in AFC or NFC championship game history. How did you guys do this?
You are gay.
Let's hit the locker room.
And that brings us back to the latest conservative anti-gay Republican lawmaker to be caught in red stockings.
Gay.
And a bustier. To update you, Washington State's Richard Curtis has resigned under pressure from his own party after the news of his gay outing during a Republican retreat.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
They voted against every gay rights bill put before him. And in another case of karma...
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
You know, that works with just about anything.
Sure.
He's wearing a bodysuit.
And Florida police have still not found the mass murderer.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
New Jersey officials are still looking for the pedophile.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Do we have the tape from the steam room where the young kid walked in on the sportscaster?
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
And in another case of karma meets justice...
Oh, and goddamn, they found another noose.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
That Baptist church...
Found another swastika at American University.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Jim Nance all over the news.
Of course, you heard the comments about Nance the bounty hunter.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
He's all over the place.
Every bad story is Jim
That's
Nance.
That's right. Jim Nance, friend.
That Baptist church in Kansas that likes to say God hates fags at the funerals of dead American soldiers, gay or straight, that church has been ordered to pay one grieving father nearly $11 million. The judge says he knows Westboro Baptist can't afford to pay it, and with that, he approved the jury's decision.
That's kind of weird when they award them that just because they know they can't pay it.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that, if they'll have to pay any of it, some portion of it, but the judge felt that the jury's decision should stand.
Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about these creeps before. I saw them on TV today.
Right.
Again, holding up the sign that really says, more than anything, you're an idiot. So much. God hates fags.
You saw the picture of that old lady?
Yeah.
That crusty old lady. It didn't look like she had a tooth in her head.
I mean, there's really... Well, I take it back. There are a lot of worse things you could say on a sign.
Mm-hmm. In Alabama, the Ku Klux Klan is protesting against the Ku Klux Klan. The Alabama Klan is mad at the National Knights of the KKK about an anti-immigration rally that's planned for a small Alabama town on November 10th.
Look, right, this is Robert the Mailman.
He's coming to the microphone.
Yeah, shocker.
What have I always said?
Uh-huh.
We mustn't fight each other.
Oh, stop it.
The Alabama Klan is mad at the National Klan for interfering with last month's Trail of Tears motorcycle ride. So when the National Knights arrive for a return engagement on the 10th of November, the Alabama Knights plan to stage a protest. It may be the first time in the history of the South that a town has issued protest permits to two separate clans on the same day.
Wow. I was the one that said, spell it with a K. It's funny.
In other news...
like crazy glue.
Exactly.
Right.
In other news, it's 2007 and there's still a KKK.
You bet.
The numbers are in, and one out of every 10 men is double dipping. 10 guys out of 100 are having sex with more than one partner.
Oh, well, then.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Sometimes the number goes much higher than
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
It's not surprising,
Michael
this.
Elston as Buzz Burbank.
What happened to Jim Nance? Where is he now?
Was the setup again?
I said 10 guys out of 100, or 1 in 10, if you want to look at it that way, having sex with more than one partner.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Apparently the Nance tape is gone.
Aren't you Jim Nance?
There it is.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Now, this is not surprising news, but it puts a number on the percentage of men who, in many cases, are keeping sexually transmitted diseases alive. I walked into that one, didn't I?
Keep it alive.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Keep it alive, friend.
A survey asked 5,000 guys to count their partners over the last year, complete with
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown.
I'm Irv Harrigan.
And we got VD.
George Michael.
They were also asked to give the dates, the exact dates of their encounters. University of North Carolina researchers say the problem was not having multiple partners in a year. It was in having relationships that overlap. And, of course, unprotected sex.
And under the lap as well.
Hey.
The late President Gerald Ford found Bill Clinton's womanizing disturbing. So much so, he thought Bill should check into rehab for his addiction to sex. Ford's wife, Betty, was a recovering alcoholic. Hi.
Baby.
And yeah. One of our most famous rehabs bears her name. So Gerald Ford was up to date on the subject of addiction. It's in a new book, Write It When I'm Gone, Remarkable Off-the-Record Conversations.
My name is Betty, and I'm an alcoholic.
You're hot as balls, Betty.
Amen.
With Gerald R. Ford.
Give you something to drink.
And in it, Ford tells a reporter this about Bill. Quote, this is Gerald Ford, the late Gerald Ford speaking.
All right, dead man talking.
He's sick. He's got an addiction. He needs treatment. There's treatment for that kind of addiction. A lot of men have gone through the treatment with a lot of success, but he won't do it because he's in denial. End quote.
All right.
Yeah, like Michael Douglas. Didn't Michael Douglas come out and say
he did, yeah.
He's a sex addict.
His entire sex addict thing was something he made up.
Yeah, just to get his wife off his back.
And also, he didn't want people to know that he was in drugs, so he thought.
Oh, people, that's what he did. It was not to get his wife off his back. It was to mask the fact that he was a drug addict
or
an alcoholic.
He thought that people would accept him more if they thought he was a sex addict and not a drug addict.
And we did.
Ford also said he thought Bill Clinton was the best politician he'd ever seen, even better than John F. Kennedy. And finally, sex has been banned altogether.
Better than George Wallace?
No, presidents. Mm-hmm. George Wallace was never elected.
As hard as Rob tried, he came up short.
Should have been presidents.
George Wallace. And we're not talking about the Vegas comedian.
That's no. 10 o'clock show on the strip.
Right? No, the guy that you shot, Mike.
Yeah, well, hey, you're not supposed to say that.
Mike's gun.
Mm-hmm. Sex. He's in Laurel, Maryland, you know.
Tell me about it.
Back when I lived at the Willow Lake Apartments.
Wow, what a memory.
Yeah, I got
hard to
memory.
Forget a thing like that.
Yeah, syphilis drive.
Sex has been banned on Singapore Airlines' new Airbus 380, even though that plane is the first in commercial aviation to come equipped with double beds. Quoting a company spokesman, if couples use our double beds to engage in inappropriate activity, we would politely ask them to desist. The rules for behavior in our double beds are the same ones that apply throughout the aircraft. Quoting a man on the first flight, they'll sell you a double bed, give you privacy and endless champagne, and then say you can't do what comes naturally. Quoting a British woman on board, they seem to have done everything they can to make it romantic, short of bringing around oysters.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Yeah, cousin, I'm
on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh.
Have you noticed that thing that Buzz does with his voice, too?
Yes. Short of bringing around oysters.
I have
champagne and oysters for you. Slurp this.
All right, well, listen, that's it. I am sure that the town of Lincoln, Nebraska will never be the same.
Yeah, we hope hope they enjoyed it.
We'll see you tomorrow. They picked a good time to jump on this boat. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Day to you, sir.
And Peter North.
It starts in 10 minutes.
What?
The Puppet Show at Executive Getty.
Oh, God. Einen Finger.
This is the Don and Mike Show.